Distractions, episode number 143. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hola.
And as always, Mr. Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Today, we are doing our contest entries for August.
Yeah!
I love
these
doing
are like my favorite
these shows.
Shows.
I know, I love it. It's like, I have something super fun to look forward to every month. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to be doing that, but before that, we're going to do some distractions, and then we'll do some doing a little bit of news. Afterwards, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before we do that, Travis, let's go around the table. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. Very, very, very busy. First of all, I'm going to comment on something Jeff said real quick. You know, he's like, oh, these are my favorite shows. I really enjoy, you know, like the contest. We just get to sit back and have a laugh. Which I do too. I totally agree. But something, a little aside that really kind of makes me, you know, smile and giggle sometimes is, you know, little backstage pass for the listeners. You know, we're in threads every day talking about, you know, what we're going to do this week on the show, yada, yada, yada. And, once in a while, Jeff will send us a random, you know, email saying, I'm so ready to podcast. I'm so ready. I'm ready to do this. And those end up being the nights where Jeff gets completely wasted on the podcast.
So we got the email today.
It's true. I'm serious. I swear it is true. So we got the email today and we're like, I'm talking to myself and I'm like, Jeff's going to get hammered tonight because it's kind of like a low responsibility night because it's just contest entries.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about entertainment because Jeff takes care of that for us.
So Jeff's going to get
these are the shows where Jeff goes to the bathroom, comes back, and then mentions that Castlevania is coming out next week when it's coming out 2 weeks later.
I just talked about it for like 5 minutes.
So
that might happen because I'm trying to cut that down like every second week.
So I just wanted to mention that and everything.
We'll see what
but
happens.
A lot of stuff going on. First things first, guys, I just want to give like props to everyone. The love for the Lady Gaga stuff was phenomenal. You know, we had a good time, you know, messing around with it on the show last week. But you guys have just gone above and beyond with just supporting, saying good job or whatever the case may be. All positive, nothing negative. Jack making CD cover art and, you know, the 5-star quotes and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that.
That was really, really good stuff. I mean, it's just been through the wall. You guys have been so helpful and so
fun.
Yeah,
and the MP3 is out on iTunes right now, too.
Yeah.
People can download
snag
it.
Apparently,
see,
I'm like
losing a bet wasn't that bad. Now
so
it?
Apparently, I'm like 13 people's ringtones now. Yeah. It's interesting,
including John.
You
should take that Valkyria Chronicles bet, and then you know maybe another hit on your hands.
Maybe. But like I said, very, very busy. Maybe like 2-3 days ago, we found out Glenn Burgess, Kill9 from Expletive Deleted podcast.
Yep.
He's coming into town, and we just started some last-minute plans. We're going to throw a little shindig tomorrow night, which is Friday, and just have some fun, have some drinks, play some games, some video games, some games. I'm going to try to talk Jason. This is going to already happen by the time, you know, the show posts and everything. But my plan is I'm going to try to talk to Jason to see if he wants to stream it. And then we'll post something on VG Evo Come Party with Endus and EDP. So we'll see if we can talk him into that.
Cool.
And well, I wanted to go ahead and bring it up because we've had a super secret project going on for a long time. And I want to go ahead and unveil what it is. The reason being,
What are you talking about?
I wanted to wait and make sure that everything. I got all the material first because I didn't want it to, you know, flop and then not do it. So I didn't want to jinx
Kinda
it
like
by
Hannah
mentioning
from
it
Battle
what it was. Nothing about her flopped.
Oh
well,
man!
No, I know, yeah. I know. Just she's a big myth to a lot of people right now. A lot of people are like she doesn't exist.
Hey, we have a picture. She just asked us not to post it.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all thinking, yeah, of course you do.
Of course
you
do.
I have a girlfriend in fucking Japan.
Really?
Not me. I'm just saying this.
Does Tanya know about that? So anyway.
Tanya's the one that hooked it up. It's a three-way thing. That would
so
be
anyway,
totally hot.
Long okay. story short, what we've been doing, we got about 13 people to do 10 episodes apiece and go
13
through episodes.
13 very helpful and amazing
very,
people
very,
that were
gonna,
dedicating
I
a lot. I would not have done it either. Fuck that shit,
it.
Dude.
And Travis said, I'm like, fuck that shit, dude. You're going to expect people to do that?
It's like, I barely have time for what I do now.
I
you want me to do that?
Yeah, extremely helpful people. We're going to find out a way to give them some shout-outs or find something for them to do something special for them. We'll think of something.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. What they did, they took 10 episodes apiece from episode 1 to 130, and they went through 10 episodes apiece and time-stamped all their pretty much what they feel personally are the, you know, the greatest hits, funniest moments, or even the start of some specific, you know, inside jokes, some Tampax moments we have on the show and everything. And I've been reading through some of the stuff, and there have been some great, great additions. Because, I mean, when I started the show as a listener, I only started on episode like 55 or 60. So,
didn't
you
say 1 year was your first, 52?
Yeah, 52. Yeah, it was my very first episode I ever listened to. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I've never even heard before that I'm going to be jumping into in terms of editing this. It's going to be called Episode Zero. It's going to be an introductory podcast for Interactive Distractions. So people who, like, if they started today on episode 143 and they hear a lot of inside jokes or a lot of Tampax moments, or if they don't even know what Tampax is, guess what? This is going to be their way to find out what that is. So I cannot give you guys a set date on when this is going to happen.
It's going to be a lot of work for Travis.
It's going to be a lot of work, but as soon as it's done,
by the
I'm
time
take...
this is out, we're going to have people going for in this episode 0.5.
I know.
So 0.5, keep it locked.
From episodes 140 to 200.
Yeah, really.
So we'll find a cool way to get it all, you know, edited together, or I will, and you know, just have something to put out for you guys as a kind of a greatest hits, and it's going to be fully dedicated to you guys because this is pretty much created by you all. The information's from you guys, and it's going to go right back out to you guys.
And
we
get
hope
it for
you
the
enjoy
low price of $2.99 on iTunes.
Yeah, we're charging.
And then you get an immediate refund of $3. So we pay you one penny.
So you get one penny.
Yeah, so we're losing money. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, that's pretty much it. It's just massive, massive in this business going on. So, Jeff, actually, you know what? I wanted to do one more thing. I'm so sorry for taking so much time, but
this podcast is going to take forever.
I know, but I'm so excited. I'm ready to podcast. I'm excited. I might even get a little drunk tonight because I'm so excited about. But what are you guys drinking? We never asked that. What are you guys sipping on tonight?
I'm sipping on vodka and seven.
Vodka
Diet seven. Yeah.
Cool. What you got, Chris?
I broke open one of my buddy's homebrews. So I broke that out, and I finished my first glass, so now I'm drinking water until I can take a break and go fill my glass again.
Cool.
Are you or maybe I'll just do what Jeff does and get up and fucking leave and get another drink.
Uncharted 3, coming out next week. Cool. Well, I'm
I don't
not
do that
excited.
More than once a show.
Well, I feel like a wimp. I got me a little apple juice, a little A juice. Hey. So I guess...
Oh, sorry.
That just A juice. That's it. Okay, now that I have,
now that you've proven once again that you have a vagina.
With fucking apple juice? Give me a break.
That's pretty vagina-like.
Continue.
Well, it's good. Anyway, yeah, so drinking apple juice. Jeff, go.
Dude, nothing happened this week, I don't think. I can't. What did I do this past weekend? It's my dad's 70th birthday this weekend, which is crazy.
Wow.
It's insane.
God
yeah,
damn.
Dude.
Aren't you younger than me?
Who, me?
You are younger than me.
No, yeah, I'm younger than
me. And your father's older than
he impregnated my mom when he was 39.
Wow.
Around that area. So, yeah. So, that's pretty crazy. And I really hope I have his genes because everyone says he doesn't look a day older than 55. So, that's pretty insane.
Well, you look about 55 now, so.
Oh, snap.
Sorry.
It's all right. So I'm hoping to get those genes. So this
says
this weekend,
the guy with gray hair.
Yeah, I know. that just means that I look 60. That's all.
Sorry, I look 12.
That's the outlook this weekend. I'm gonna go see Scott Pilgrim tomorrow, though. Me and Tanya are gonna go on a date, and we're gonna go check that out.
I'm crossing my fingers that the movie is better than the game.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure it is, though. That's not saying much. Yeah, there's that. And then I can't remember what the hell I did last weekend. I really can't. Oh, I had a wedding to go to with some guy who works wedding. And then Saturday, we just chilled and played poker, which I lost my money. So that kind of sucked. But it was fun. Tanya was pissed, though, because we spent like the entire day cleaning. And then by the time she got home, she went out with a couple of her friends. And they got back, and she's like, the place was like a mess, even worse than it was before. Because there's like, six of us, and you're playing poker. And just, yeah. chilling.
Fucking slobs.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was fun.
Cool.
That was it. Work's been crazy. I need a new job. Anyone hiring out there, let me know. Doesn't matter what it is or where you are.
Cool. Not much on this side. We got part of Liam's Halloween costume in today and posted a picture of it on Twitter.
He's so cute.
He's gonna be a one-up mushroom.
Oh my god, that is awesome.
It's awesome. Priceless.
No, seriously, he's gonna be a one-up mushroom.
Did you post it or did Crystal?
I posted it on Twitter and she posted it on Facebook.
All right, I'm gonna check it out.
But yeah, it's a little crocheted hat, and it looks like a little green, you know, mushroom top. And we've got more plans, but you know, to do it. So he's going to be a one-up mushroom, but there's more to it than that. So it's going to be fun. We have a few good ideas, and you know, kind of a shout out to Tina, Lisa, and Serena. They made an awesome quilt for us, and that quilt is going to kind of come into effect come Halloween. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that quilt is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's badass. That's pretty much it. I mean, you know, work is work, and you know, other shit's happening, and that's about it. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend when Glenn gets here, and we're gonna have a good time. So, yeah. Hey, you know, one of the things that we were talking about doing this weekend with Glenn was going to Battle and Brew, and kind of reminds me of Indusfest.
Dude,
gotta mention that. We got a couple more people that confirmed that they're coming, so the list just keeps growing, guys. It's like every week we're getting another one, two people that are coming. So, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider that we're still like 12 weeks away.
And
we're looking at another like 20, 30 people maybe if it keeps going like this, but that, you know. But yeah, you know, nothing's changed, nothing new to announce, but, you know, we are pretty confident about the band that we're trying to book. And as soon as we get confirmation that that's going to happen, we'll announce who
that
is.
That's going to be pretty awesome.
If it works. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And,
I don't want to hype it up, but I mean, I haven't seen these guys, but a lot of people who I know who have say nothing but good things.
I know Jason's been several times.
Yes.
To see them.
Oh, that's a pretty big hint.
And,
let that be the hint.
That's the hint, and I know that there's a couple people out there that will probably guess it just from that.
Yeah.
With that, I mean, we talked about NRT already, we talked about Battle and Brew already, you know, everyone's, you know, wanting to go to Big Pie in the Sky, so if we're not doing Sonic on Saturday, maybe we'll do that on Saturday for lunch. So, you know, we'll figure it out. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff. You know, one of the... You know, there's going to be a trip to, you know, my cousin's bakery in there because it always happens. So, yeah, it should be fun.
You didn't go there last year, you douche.
Some did. Some did.
Probably the people that are staying at your place.
Yeah, some did.
Yeah. And what'll probably happen this time around is, you know, I was talking about the Thursday dinner for people that come in the day early. That's probably what we'll do is Thursday for dinner. We'll go to the bakery because the restaurant will be open by then.
That's probably the day I'll be getting there, most likely.
Cool. So, yeah, you'll get a chance to, hopefully, if we can set that up, you'll get a chance to go to that. But, yeah, I mean, seriously, guys, it's going to be fun. If you can, get down here. And I know it costs a lot for flights and everything right now, but, you know, we do everything we can to make it worth it for you. You know, it's going to be a big party, and you know, there's going to be tons of swag, and it's going to be worth it, I promise. So, with that, let's talk about some games.
Because
that's kind of what we're here for, right? I mean, we just spent 15 minutes about talking about bullshit, so let's talk about some games now. Travis, go for it.
All right. So, so Madden. And I've been really trying to, like, I'm really, like, beating myself up trying to find an adjective for my Madden, since I'm playing it every week. You know, I had my mandatory Modern Warfare, but I didn't want to do mandatory Madden. I've already
Mundane
used that. I wanted to do something that was, like, you know, just... something new, something fresh, you know, something funky fresh. And I couldn't find anything. And I wish you would have said, like, Madden Madness, because I like that. But since you said it already and I didn't come up with it, it's not going
to
work. Piss on yourself, okay? I want you to lay on your back and lean back to where kind of like you're just, like, leaning on your shoulders and just piss all over yourself, Jeff. Go ahead and do that right now.
So then I'll be the same
away from the mic as this. So I can go ahead and talk to Chris one-on-one. So anyway,
I'm kidding. I just like to bust your balls.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Interactive Distractions.
I have no hate nor love for Madden.
So anyway,
this belongs in episode zero.
Actually,
this is what the show's all
terrible
about.
Because I don't follow the sport. But anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, so I just thought of the adjective mentionable because I've already talked about it. So it's not going to go any further than me mentioning me playing Madden. So it's mentionable Madden.
Wait, I got one. Who gives a
shit? Next, in light. I'm just ignoring the fucker. In light.
You want me to mute him, dude? I can do that.
Turn his mic off. Cut off his mic. Gary, cut off his mic. Anyway, in light of last week, you know, I went ahead and just bought Valkyria Chronicles 1.
Yeah! Okay, sorry. Before you go to Valkyria Chronicles, I want to say, if you guys haven't checked out the Madden Gra video, check that shit out. That shit is really impressive. And I'm not saying it just because I'm biased, because I'm part of Indus, but it's a good video that Travis and his buddy went and got all the footage for, and then Jason put it all together with Travis. It's really good.
Considering that Jeff just hoogassed Madden, and now he's pimping the video, it must be pretty good.
I'm just hoogassing Madden because it's Travis and whatever. No big deal. But,
and he feels like fucking with Travis.
Well,
right
thanks.
Now.
Well, exactly. I appreciate it. Yeah, please check out the video.
But it is actually really good. It's funny.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
What
I
the hell
that.
Is
I know,
really?
I know. I suck. I'm sorry.
You're fired.
I know. I'll watch it tomorrow, I promise.
Well, shit, I'll watch it on break. Anyway, so yeah, I picked up Valkyria Chronicles 1.
Yes.
I picked up the day later, and I played it for like almost 4 or 5 hours just the day I bought it. Like, I stayed up all night and played it. I think I got to like chapter 4 just in the first night that I picked up the game.
Nice, dude.
And, you know, I told Aaron that I was going, you know, last week that I was going to go ahead and pick it up and start playing it. And I did. And I'm all about it. I was even tweeting him the next day, like, dude, you're right. This was good. Even on the Sega blog, he mentioned Travis. I knew you would like it and everything, so I thought that was pretty neat.
When I sent him the email to post the show, I mentioned that you had picked it up and you'd already gotten to like chapter 8 or something like that.
And, but by the time the blog was posted, I had already passed chapter 7, the hard chapter.
Yeah, everyone was saying it was a hard chapter. How many turns did it take?
That
you?
Is the hard fucking
I died one time.
You died one time? How many turns did you beat it?
Just one time.
Really?
Yeah.
That is the tank one, right, with the big tank?
Yeah, the big tank. Mm-hmm. How many turns did it take you, though?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay.
The only time I died was, so chapter 7, my only gripe about that level, because this is the only stage that they kind of do this, it's really original how they put you in these situations every chapter. It's a new situation. It's like, okay, whenever you think that it couldn't get a little more, you know, they couldn't put you in a more different situation, or the odds, or whatever the case may be, or like you're split apart here from your other group, and you got to meet up in the middle and then fight. Like, it's every match is so different, but so done well, like creatively. Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just like every match and situation is so creative, and it's great. But with chapter 7, the issue with that chapter, the reason why it's so hard. They throw so much stuff on you that you have to worry
really
about
do.
And focus on at once. You have to worry about the turrets. And then you have to worry about being in front or behind the Batimus, the big tank. Then you have to worry about, you know,
Silvaria.
whether or not to guard your bases or just run away from your bases. Then you have to worry about knocking down pillars
walls.
To slow down the walls to slow down the Batimus. Then Silvaria shows up, and then you have to worry about the radiators on the tank. And after the radiators, you have to destroy the tank. And it's like, whoa, God, that's what made it so tough. It was just like so many stuff. They say, okay, now you have to do this. Now you have
and
to
that's,
do that.
And that's the thing. It's like when we were talking about part 2 last week, when I said that, you know, so there's no missions that will that take a minimum of 9 turns to finish. Chapter 7 is a minimum of 9 turns to finish. And it is, you know, 9 turns in Valkyria Chronicles is like an hour. I mean, at least. It's a long mission.
I think that's one of the only ones actually saved mid-battle.
Yeah.
Like, multiple times, because, it was
long. No, I'm not going to lie.
Actually, someone else beat it for me.
Now, I legitimately died once, but, you know, I saved after every turn. And if I did a couple of moves, like, ooh, I don't like this. Let me go back and load. You have to do that.
But in this game in general, I mean, there's other missions where you have to do that too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that level is hard. And I can say, I only died once on that level. No, I'm not saying it's easy at all. It is a challenge and it is hard. I just went in knowing to expect that this is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So I was so methodical. I was like crazy methodical.
That's the way you got to do it too.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I still survived by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah,
I really did.
It's a tough
It was a last minute tank shot, and I won. I don't know how I did it, but I did. So
see, I got lucky because I figured out that like the out to the left of the map, there's like this little L-shaped wall, right? And between turns, you can kind of, you can, like, once everything else that's causing a problem is gone and all you're focusing on is the radiators and the tank, mm-hmm. you can kind of just keep a Lancer and, you know, maybe a Scout and another guy in that little L-shaped wall. And then you can block them in with the tank and nobody can hit them. And with the radiator up against the edge of the map, nothing can get to the radiator either. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's, I kind of got lucky and figured that out. And I was like, oh, I can just like chill out here. And then when the radiator pops up, I can run out and blow it up. And that's kind of how I ended up doing it.
Yeah. I wish I would have known about that because I so would have abused that. So, but I love this game, man. It is a really, really cool little game.
It's fantastic, man. It's very unique.
I spent $20 on it and I would have easily been happy with the $60 purchase when it came up. Unfortunately, they did not. I went to two GameStops. They did not have it new.
No, I was just asking because
I was sad because Sega deserves every penny of this game. And I was just sad that that was the only way I could have it.
Realistically, they probably sold out of all their new copies anyway because I remember when Jason and Chris were talking about it, I didn't buy it. And then they kept talking about it. I was like, okay, this sounds pretty awesome. And when I actually wanted to go find it, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah. Like, it's not a very common game. I mean, it's pretty rare right now.
I ended up ordering it online somewhere. Yeah. I can't remember why. And then, I haven't seen it new in a long time, so I wouldn't feel too bad, Travis. I think they probably had like a second print after there's a little bit more of demand, and then sent them out there, and they were sold.
They're just gone.
But pretty much.
Okay, well, I mean, if that's the case, then I won't feel bad, but I still wish that Sega could have gotten some money out of this purchase because I love this game.
DLC. Yeah, Amazon has it, but it's $10 more expensive. So.
Yeah, I want to get the Silvaria DLC like you mentioned earlier, which I'm sure you'll talk about.
Ooh, yes, I will. I can talk about it right now if you want.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So the DLC, they're like when it started coming out, they put it on sale earlier this year, I think, and they put all three DLC packs. There's the EX Hard Skirmishes, there's the ED Detachment, and there's Behind Her Blue Flame. I think that's that's the one that Aaron mentioned
last
week.
That is correct.
And Blue Flame is basically you're playing the Empire, and you basically get a view of how things work on the side of the Empire when you're below Silvaria Bless, who is the Valkyrie, one of the Valkyries in the game, and it's incredible how misinterpreted they are, because as they're talking to each other and they're talking about like the reason that they're invading and stuff like that. I mean, they really believe that this is what is the right thing to do. And they're all they're just normal people. And, Silvaria is like the mother figure to them. It's really pretty cool the way they lay it all out. But I mean, Silvaria is just a badass. I mean, she is a scout that has basically, a shock trooper type weapon that has the accuracy of the scout's rifle. I mean, that's the weapon that she carries around. And I mean, I've actually like had turns in the missions in the DLC missions where I got hit by a sniper that was like across the map and she would jump up and counterattack the sniper. I'm like, dude, that guy's like across the map. How are you fucking hitting him? And if you get an A on mission one and one of the second missions, because there's two second missions, there's something in particular you can do on mission one that will change mission two. So if you get an A on mission one and either mission 2B or 2A, you get her gun for your shock troopers in the game. And
that'd be pretty insane.
It's insane. I haven't actually tried it, but if it actually holds like all the stats that it does when she carries it around, I mean, it breaks the game. It would have to break
the game.
Definitely break the game. You'd probably breeze through the rest of it.
She's unstoppable.
But and then if you actually play all three missions, so if you open up 2A and 2B and you get A's on all of them, you actually get to play it unlocks a special mission 3 where you actually get to play as Silvaria as a Valkyria. And it's just crazy how powerful she is. I actually, I was playing it today and, she has two, she carries around the big lance and, she's got two attacks with the lance. It's either like the Gatling lance. It fires off like 10 shots or like this huge beam cannon. And I set up, I was attacking one of the galleon bases. I was heading over there to occupy it. And there was a Gatlin gun with a tank directly behind it. I aimed at the tank, so it happened to go directly through the guy that was running the Gatlin gun. Took both out in one shot. It was fucking insane. And I didn't hit the radiator of the tank. I hit the armor of the tank, and it took it out in one shot. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's cool stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm definitely going to pick that up.
Yeah, they have another DLC pack that I don't have yet. It's another branch off for the ED detachment. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's basically like six missions, and each one is, you know, teaching you specific things about each class. So I actually am very interested in getting that and playing that before I get the second one, because, you know, it could actually improve, you know, my battle skills if right. You know, depending on how they do it.
Cool.
You need better battle skills.
I do. I suck. But yeah, I mean, seriously, guys, this is, in my opinion, the best PS3 RPG. And I seriously think that, you know, if you're into them, you need to go out and buy this game.
I see no argument with that at all right now. Yeah.
And part two comes out next week.
Yep. And other things that I've been playing, Mafia 2.
Really?
I picked that up on the rental.
What do you think? That's getting crazy mixed reviews.
Yeah,
it's getting crazy mixed reviews, and it's getting mixed reviews in my head as well, personally. Here's the deal. This is a game, and I don't know if there were issues with they had time constraints and they were just trying to push this out the door, but this game, to me, is really confused on what genre this game is. And the reason I say that is when you look at the game at a glance, it's an open world third-person shooter in the same vein of your GTAs or, you know, anything like that. Yeah. We're all familiar with this genre. Mm-hmm. And but there's really nothing at all open world about it. Like, how do I explain it? It's a linear game. Uh-huh. In a sandbag, you know, type, you know, third person game. Yeah, you do get the illusion. Now, this is the reason. Now, yes, you can in between missions, you know, go off, leave your home base, and just run around the entire city and drive around. But the only thing that you can do, aside from your main missions, is go buy new clothes, soup up your car, and eat or drink food. That is it. There are no side missions. There are no special missions that are just, you know, separate from the main campaign. It's chapter based. So you do a main mission or two, and that finishes up the string of missions for that day. So you go to sleep and it starts up the next chapter. There's nothing else you can do in this game. It's extremely odd. So that's like weird. It's like, okay, it makes me think, like, during the process of making this game, you know, were people actually, you know, okay, let's make an open world. Well, I don't know. Let's do this. Let's not do that. I mean, were they trying to make it to where you're kind of like not able to do all kind of wacky stuff to take away from the character progression of how this character is in the campaign? And, you know, it's kind of that thing that GTA kind of suffers from, whereas you can go murder, you know, tens of thousands of people and do all these crazy parachuting missions and all that stuff. But when you go back to the campaign, you know, Nico Bellic's all brooding and, you know, all quiet. Like, I want to be good. But you can do all this crazy shit. But it seems that they were kind of trying to struggle saying, okay, let's limit it, but let's still make it open world. And it's just, to me, it just does nothing but confuse me.
Cause I think I'd probably like that better than open world shit.
I can see that, but
more focused.
This game should have just been, yeah, more focused and maybe even a smaller city and just keep it within the confines of the campaign.
They still have, well, one of the biggest complaints I've heard is that it's a really pain in the ass to drive everywhere you have to drive when it's like...
You know, honestly, driving is one of the most enjoyable things in this game.
No, really.
The reason being, A, the game is gorgeous. The scenery, the cars, it is gorgeous. Other than that, it's more on the cars drive, to me, like they're supposed to. They don't handle perfect. They don't handle like, you know, most of your cars, your modern cars on, you know, Grand Theft Auto or anything. They feel kind of heavy and clunky. The sounds they make just sound authentic, like a 1940s, you know, vehicle. I mean, I can only assume what one really sounds like, but when you're listening to it and feeling the handling, it just feels right.
Well, mechanics aside, though, is there a way to fast travel?
Not that I've noticed yet.
I think Yeah, I think that's what the main complaint is. Like, not that I've noticed. Drive so much, it's like, okay,
yeah,
there's no way to get around that.
There is a lot of driving. There's a lot of missions that are solely based on driving. Like, you have, you know, 15 minutes to make it to six of these 12 spots, you know. I mean, it's kind of like a, you know, a time trial with checkpoints. So the game is flawed, but the number one, you know, draw to this game is the storyline and the campaign.
That's what I've heard.
I love it so far. Like, it's a good mafia story. It's written pretty well. The character models look kind of decent. But and their
the
lips
are ugly.
The lips move kind of odd, like the lip syncing's not very good with the voices and everything like that. It's just something off about it. But other than that, the presentation, the music is phenomenal. They use licensed 1940s tracks. It's really good.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, it's really cool.
That is pretty cool.
Huh.
Like the very first level, like you're coming home from the military and it's snowing and it's Christmas time in the city and you're coming home to like Christmas time, like some sort of Christmas song, but you know the song because you've heard it in real life, but it's like a, you know, old 40s Christmas song. It's great. It just really mixes you well with the world. And you're walking home for the first time and you're like, Vito, oh my God, I haven't seen, like, just random people that obviously Vito knows in the past. It's just a great intro to the game that really introduces you to the world, and it works, and it really helps with the world.
Are you
going to
beat
it? Yeah, I probably will. It's not a bad game at all. It's not a bad game at all. I mean, I would give it as like a minor distraction, maybe like a, you know, 7.5-ish. It's a decent game. It's good.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying
it. Like average, basically. Just above average, maybe?
Definitely above average. It's above average because the story, and it is really, really good. And it feels authentic in terms of the movies we're used to. Like, you know, often...
Like Scarface and shit, or...
Well, Scarface to me is not an authentic... like mafia movie. It's like more of like a gangster movie.
Yeah, that's true. So you're talking like kind Godfather of like, and like
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. And I think they pull that off really, really well. And so I'm enjoying that. And the
better,
last thing
better
that I'm
than
playing,
the Godfather of the game?
I like the mechanics of Godfather, actually going out and extorting yourself. I really like going out and just like, you know, pushing people around and get my money and stuff like that and opening up rackets. So I like the mechanics better. The story, though, is way, way better because they just kind of take the Godfather movie storyline and just chop it all to shit. And I just think the game doesn't do the – as a mafia game, Godfather is good. But as a – it just doesn't do the movie service. Like, it's odd. So, the last thing that I've been playing that I'm going to mention is more we've been playing, but I think Chris will mention it later. Dragon Quest IX on the DS. I listened to the latest episode of The Goo.
Yeah, I did too, when Adam was talking it up.
And Adam, when he said that this is probably one of the best... No, I think he said this was the best RPG he's ever played, right?
I don't remember.
Shit,
it was along the lines. He was,
for Adam to say
I know
because
Adam plays.
Lines.
I think he
Adam's
plays
like
more
the
RPGs than me, man.
Dude, the guy plays like every Final Fantasy 13 times.
No,
so.
He said that. I believe that he said he enjoyed this more than his favorite Final Fantasy title.
Oh wow!
Now I don't know about all that, but I will say that this game is great. It is great. I'm like 8 or 9 hours into it, and I'm all about it. I am completely all about it, and I'm going to tell you why. Of course,
how
it's Dragon Quest.
How much grinding is
in it? You could get it's a Dragon Quest game. It's old school RPG, JRPG. So
lots
there's
grinding.
You can't beat the boss. You go back and you grind. But here's the deal. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you know, we live in a day and age where you have all of these companies like, you know, Squaresoft, when they make a new Final Fantasy, they want to make the latest and greatest fighting system. And, you know, for the most part, yes, it pays off. And they want to do like all new ways in how you level and how they present a world and how they do this. It's all about evolving and everything. And we're living in a day and age where we have nothing but this. And a game like this, like Dragon Quest IX, comes along and it is old school traditional. To me, this is a breath of fresh air. And
to
it
me,
is not. It is.
Ever
it is not even. And you know what? Honestly, though, but I never seen you as a huge RPG guy.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, really.
I just
really
don't see that.
See, but I love
Chris,
Dragon Quest, and I've been
Chris,
wanting to get this game for. I just don't have the time for it right now. That's a thing.
I'm not a
time
JRPG
sink.
Guy.
This is a time sink. I can already tell that this is. It's easy to put in 50 to 80 hours into this game.
See, I can't. I can't take if I only have like an hour to game. I want to feel like I've got progression in the story and in that game to feel like I've actually accomplished something. That's why grinding just really gets to me. I was following this game for a while because it's been out in Japan for like over a year.
Out in Japan for a while.
It's been like a while. I remember thinking like, this looks really cool. And I've never really played a Dragon Quest game before. Like, I played some Final Fantasy. It's like, yeah, I'm interested. But then once I started hearing all the grinding and stuff, I'm like, oh, you know what? The amount of time I have for games now, I can't see myself putting in like an hour just to grind to a certain level to beat a boss. Because then I'll be like, okay, grind level to the level, beat the boss, and that's it. And then I got to go to bed or I got to do something else. And then I'd probably be 70 by the time I beat Dragon Quest 9.
Hey, here's the deal. This is the long short of it, man. You played Dragon Quest 7 when it was on, or was it 8?
PS2. I'm not
sure. The one that was on the PS2.
That was 8.
That was 8.
That was 8. Okay. Did you play that one?
I did. I know Chris did. I didn't play it.
But you didn't play it.
I wanted to. I came so close to buying it so many times. I love the art style. And I was like, oh, this is really cool, but I never...
That's the one thing I don't like about Dragon Quest right now is the art style.
It's basically the same game, but on the DS format. It really is. I mean, it's the same combat. You're pretty much fighting the same enemies.
Yeah, level 5
made it.
Okay.
You know, it is the same art style, except, you know, it's down-resed because it's the DS,
of course. The DS, yeah.
But they do a lot of cool stuff, like with the combat. Like, it's more of like, kind of like... I was trying to find a better example, but I can only explain, like, you know, compare this to Final Fantasy XI.
It's kind of MMO, it's MMO-like? And
No, it's not the character progression. Like, you can
I thought you said combat.
Okay, so
You can actually be two different classes and shit like that?
Yeah, you can do multiple classes. Every character you get for your party, you create from scratch. So your main hero, you create from scratch. And if you pick up another person, you make them from scratch.
That's really old school Dragon Quest.
Everything changes too, right? If you get different equipment, it actually changes visually. Like
everything.
Okay. See, I love that kind of
headgear,
stuff.
Dragon Quest 8 did that too, so...
Oh, really?
No, it did not. Your characters looked exactly the same. The only thing that changed was their sword and their shield.
Some of them did. I know the chick did. If you know, she had some different outfits that she.
Well, it probably changed throughout the course of the story. Like she started out with a dress.
But this is like literally everything. Like boots.
Everything changes. Like boots, gloves. Yeah, everything. And I love that stuff too. I really dig that. That was like the first thing for me. Like you create a character from scratch.
Yeah, I get bored of characters quickly.
And it's that famous artist. I can't remember his name to save my life.
The guy who did Dragon Ball. That's why all of his shit looks like Dragon Ball stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what drives me nuts. It's like, hey, I'm playing Dragon Ball Quest 9. That's awesome.
But he also did the art for
Dragon that is blue with stuff.
He also did the art for Chrono Trigger as well. So the first thing I did was
Chrono
pretty
Trigger
much.
Did look good.
But the main thing I did was make Chrono.
You made Chrono. I was going to say
I made Chrono. So that's pretty much what I've been playing. I'm like 7 or 8 hours into Dragon Quest IX. I really haven't even – I didn't even start like alchemizing things yet. Like I haven't even started alchemy, so
– Let me say that's all I've been playing 20 minutes later.
Yeah, right. So, but, oh, man. It's – I'm just glad I got to say things that's not Madden, you know, for everybody. So.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, that is me, Jeff. Slap me in the face with some good games, man.
What have I been playing? I've been going through my game of the year, like contender backlog type stuff. Played some Bayonetta. Played some God of War 3.
Okay.
Played some Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
What I think speaks volumes is I played Bayonetta and Mass Effect 2 a lot longer than I did God of War 3 when I went back to them, which kind of disappointed me in a way, just because I was like, what the fuck?
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised either because God of War, as great as it is and as much as I love it, it's still just another God of War game.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah. And yeah, Bayonetta is just still great. And I kind of forgot how good that game was. I got into it. Then I was like, I'm going to throw in some Mass Effect. I'm going to start an evil bitch character. And I was like, I'm just going to play like the intro scene. And 2.5 hours later, I'm like, holy crap, I got to get to bed. So I've been kind of plugging away at that. Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, Guardian of Light, whatever, Chris, did you download it yet?
I haven't had a chance to download it yet. I started downloading it yesterday, and then we started playing something else.
And, yeah, sorry, Travis, you haven't played it yet, have you?
Nah.
You guys need to play this game. It is so good. Like, it is really good.
So, explain something to me.
I'm waiting
it's twin-stick shooter-ish when you're using your guns.
Yes.
Now, I remember specifically when I was at E3... throwing spears often?
Well, you can throw spears if you want to. Okay. Spears are primarily used to platform, basically to get to higher areas, mm-hmm. but you can use them as a weapon, and they are pretty strong weapons. So you pull out the spears.
And that's why I was using them, because they were a lot stronger than the guns.
Yeah, well, your guns, you can power up your guns, and especially when you get these like relics and stuff like that, they'll give your gun certain attributes, stuff like that. When you build up a meter, as long as you don't get hit, that meter stays, and it gives them, like, it could be like a spread effect, and like more damage or whatever.
Okay.
You use your guns a lot, and basically, like, you find yourself, especially late, I'm probably about halfway through the game, switching between weapons pretty quickly on the fly and stuff like that, like, just to kind of change things up. This is just like, for $15, this is what kind of the whole like Dear Exes ended like a while ago when Jason was on, is this game is worth $15. Like, no doubt about it. Like, presentation, the length of the game, it's got co-op, and although the online wasn't put in yet, it's going to be coming soon. And they alter the puzzles for co-op too. So it's not like they just throw you out in there to be like, here's the single player campaign with another person. Like, the puzzles are changed when you're doing co-op, to make it make sense that you're having another person in there, which is cool.
But that is cool.
The whole, I don't know, it plays really, really well. And the fact that I'm playing it in Lara Croft game, since, like, this is the first one I've been excited for since fucking the Saturn version, which is the one I had back in, I don't know, 97.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man.
Yeah, dude. And it's really good. Like, I put this thing in, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to play, like, one tomb, or like one level, and I just want to keep going. And even if I do beat that level, like, I want to go back, and because it gives you a list of objectives, and you go back and it lists what you did and what you didn't do, and how, like, pretty much you can tell like how closely or how far you missed it. And you're like, I'm gonna try it again. I can do that better. And it's really cool. I really, really like it. And for a game that wasn't on my radar, I didn't even was gonna purchase it. 'Cause I'm like, oh, okay, Tomb Raider, whatever, no big deal. It went from that to shooting up to this possibly could be, at this point anyway, my downloadable title of the year. Because it's that good. I really, really enjoy it. And, yeah, you guys got to play at least the trial. Like, it's really...
Oh, I plan
really
on it. It's cool. It's just that right now I'm in a situation where, you know, if I download it on my 360 and I play the demo on my 360, if I buy it, I'm buying it on PSN because I just don't have enough room on my hard drive on 360.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, it's plus, like 2 gigs I want the co-op. Or something like that.
I want online co-op.
Yeah.
Well, both.
Well, that'll come to both versions anyway. So,
yeah, it's coming on the same day.
Yeah,
it's just, it's really good. I have not tried co-op yet. I'm waiting for Tanya to have some free time so we can try that out. Looks cool. What else have I played? I played some. Shank.
So you did get to play it.
I did get to play it finally because I downloaded the trial. I came out on PSN on Tuesday. I waited for the 360 version, one, because I had some points left. So I was like, hey, may as well. And achievements, why not? So I downloaded the trial on Wednesday morning, started playing it. By playing it, I mean waited for loading a long time. And then when I actually got to the intro, it was really stuttery. Kind of like, there's like watching a DVD, like a scratched disc or something. Like, it was stuttering and stuttering and stuttering, so whatever. Finally got to the point where I can push start a game, loading screen for probably about 7 minutes. I literally went, did my business in the washroom. I think I made myself something to eat really quick. I'm like, this is still, okay, screw this. Erasing it, setting the download again, going to work, came home, started up again, same thing. So at that point, I'm like, screw it, download the trial on PSN. And, a lot of people were saying that it took so long to download because it is like 2 gigs, and I don't know if I got lucky or if my moose was really like hitting the fifth gear, sixth gear that night. But I downloaded, like, you guys are there, we're playing the game together, and it downloaded, I'd say, no longer than probably 15 to 20 minutes.
Wow.
No, I would say less than, I don't know, I can't remember how long we're playing, but yeah, probably about 20 minutes, so like that, like 2 gigs. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. Played the demo, through the whole demo right away, downloaded the entire thing, like, purchase.
Wow.
Did you get either guys play The Dishwasher?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I played the demo, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like a way more polished version of that game.
So it's like, side-scrolling?
Yeah, it's side-scrolling beat-em-up. You got, like, you got your guns, your dual-wielding guns, you got, like, a chainsaw and, like, a shank. Fitting. And you're go basically figure. Hacking the crap out of... Sorry, go ahead.
I said go figure.
Yeah. You're hacking the crap out of people, and you got to, you know, combo the different weapons and different combinations to take down different different enemies and to get higher, like, scores and stuff with your combo meter and stuff like that. But the art's really done well. It's HD, like, high res, like, pretty colorful, and voice acting's not bad. The guy's a bit of a douche, kind of like Kratos, but maybe even worse. You kill someone you really don't have to in the first, in the demo, this isn't a spoiler, but the first boss you face, you kill him, and then you realize that's not the guy you're looking for.
Right.
But it's pretty cool. I kind of like it. I've heard reviews are kind of, again, mixed on this one. Basically, they're saying it gets repetitive really fast in terms of the combat. So if you don't like that type of combat, like the kind of, it is kind of mashy, not going to lie. Like, it's, you're basically mm-hmm. mashing, like, the weak and strong and then guns, whatever. But it is a lot of fun so far. Like, I'm a couple chapters into it, but $15. I can't say whether or not it's worth that yet. I want to wait until I complete it because I've heard it's really short and Jason beat it in like 3 hours or something like that.
But he said there's a lot to go back to and do.
But what's a lot, though? That's the thing. I want to ask him, like, what exactly is a lot? Is it just like...
Cause you I know were there you when back, I asked them.
Yeah, I know you can go back and replay the boss fights. To me, that's, okay, yippee. Who cares? Like, if you just want to replay the boss fights or go through to get, like, I don't know, higher scores or whatever. But I don't know what's there yet. But definitely download the trial.
Okay.
Give a shot. I mean, if you didn't mind the dishwasher, this is...
I did like the dishwasher.
It was pretty cool. It does control a little better than that. And well, of course, it's more polished than the dishwasher. Because, yeah, that was like an independent game that turned into a published Microsoft thing. But that's pretty much it, man. A lot of downloadable stuff. And next, of course, the Street Fighters and the regular stuff I play every week.
Right. Truth. Cool.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
Well, let's see. We talked about Valkyria Chronicles already. And let's see what else I play. We had a first last night.
It was
night.
Definitely a first.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yep.
Well, it was a first with the four of us.
Yeah. All four of us got online on Xbox Live and played Castlevania. And
we did.
That was a good time. I had a lot of fun. Travis downloaded the game.
They guilted me into spending the money on it.
You didn't guilt your ass into spending it.
Well, Jeff and Jason are going to play. Well... Yeah, why don't you buy it? I mean, come on, dude.
Just do it. Did you enjoy it? I mean, how do you like it?
We had a good time.
It's
I can
fun
definitely
co-op, dude.
See how I'm never going to play this game unless I have someone to play with.
It's true. Yeah. I don't play it either.
Ever.
Single player at all.
Ever.
Yeah, but I'm always willing to play it, so if you want to play it, give me a call.
Yeah, sure. Too bad you're only online at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
I'm not online at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm online at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, okay. Well, you used to be on at 6 o'clock in the morning before you went to work, but I guess that changed.
Yeah. Things change. But yeah, you know, we had a really good time. Went through the first three chapters. In chapter three, there's, you know, one of the big things about chapter three is that the boss takes up pretty much almost the entire stage. And there's this giant bone hammer that you can release.
Hammer that bone.
And,
release that bone.
We knocked the shit out of that dude twice with that thing.
Yeah, that shit was awesome. And I don't think anyone died at that time either. And this is Travis's first time playing.
Yeah.
I think it was my second time playing that level.
Yeah, the only time I died was on the Puppet Master. He actually got me in that into one of the Iron Maidens twice in a row.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that was the only time I died. But
it was the next chapter where I made the big bonehead mistake. And we got to the part with the boss of that level. And Well, Chris, his mic was kind of cutting out, and we got to this point.
Oh, yeah, on stage four. Thought, that's right, because we did get to stage four.
And there was like a mirror or something, and I was like, oh, what does this do? And he's like, what I heard was, oh, go in there. So I'm like, okay. And right when I'm about to hit the button, I hear, don't fucking go in there. And then I'm like, oh, it's too late. And I activated the boss.
Yeah, I activated the boss, and I ran in after him. I'm like, oh, fuck. We have to fight this motherfucker right now.
Jason and Travis couldn't get to us.
No, it kicked me out of the game.
Oh, no, that's right. It kicked
Travis
out.
Travis got booted for some reason.
Yeah. And then it screwed Jason, too. Jason froze or something. So it was just me and Chris in there, and then I died a few times, and I ended up a skeleton. I didn't realize if you die as a skeleton, it takes off time.
We got to the boss with like 20 minutes to go, and we ran out of time because Jeff couldn't dodge a damn thing.
Well, I wasn't trying to. I didn't realize it took off time when you died. I thought when you're a skeleton, you can just keep just tossing your bones at the guy.
Yeah, I just...
Who cares? It's free damage. It's cool.
I finally told him when there's like... Like two minutes left. And I was like, dude, you know, every time you die, it takes time off.
Yeah,
and then he died again, and it's like 10.
Yeah, because I died right there, and I looked at the time. It took off like 45 seconds. I'm like, oh, my God. You realize I've died like 15 times since I've been a skeleton, right?
And I was tearing the dude up, too, man.
Well, I didn't know.
But
and you can't dodge when you're a skeleton, I don't think. You can just move really slowly.
You can't. Well, you can. It's just, well, you can't do any, like, the dodge moves. But, I mean, you can move around and still double jump and all that
shit.
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
I think one of my favorite parts about playing last night was when we were on the first stage, and there's that part while you're climbing the clock tower portion of the stage where there's two pendulums going back and forth, and Jason and I are in the same area, and Jason jumps up on one of the pendulums, and you know, I continue on and I'm going through the stage and I end up near the boss, and Jason's just still sitting there on top of the pendulum just swinging back and forth. I'm like. I finally said, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, my battery died. And he was just like hanging out on the pendulum, just swinging back and forth.
I remember that. He's like, my battery died from controller. Because we thought he froze out or got kicked or something.
Yeah, I
like
thought
that.
He did. Yeah.
And can I want this is like a, okay, you know what? I'm gonna bring up some Indus trivia right now.
All
right. So anyone listening, before Travis joined, there was one other game that Jason, Chris, and myself all played at the same time.
And it was epic.
You've had this discussion 20 episodes ago.
That's probably true. And I just want to see if someone remembers what that game was.
We're going to get like 18 emails all saying the same thing.
Possibly.
It, right?
But you're not going to win anything. I'm just saying.
just see if you remember.
I think it's pretty sad that that's the case, to tell you the truth. But
yeah, it is, actually. We should do better with that.
Yes, we should.
Cool. Well, all right. So the last game I've been playing, I want to talk about a little bit longer because, you know, this Atlas sent me this game and I've been meaning to talk about it a little bit more for a long time. And the game is so damn big. So I'm going to say this first. Right? I'm going to talk about Persona 3 Portable. The first thing I'm going to say is I've never played a Persona game before this. So all the Persona nerds out there, cut me some slack because it's my first time playing one. The other thing is that I have not beaten the game. I put 25 hours into this thing, and I haven't even put a dent in it. So, but I have played it enough to know that I fucking love it. So, I'm going to talk about it a little bit. So, Persona 3 for PS Portable, PSP. A pretty fucking cool game. So, the concept is, you know, you can, in the PSP version, you can actually choose either a male or a female character, where in the PlayStation 3 version, I believe, it's just a male character. And the concept is that there's this dark hour that happens every night. And at midnight, every normal person, all the normal population out there, they all just like morph into coffins. It's really kind of fucked up that way. But there's this group of people that some, you know, there's certain people that don't. And most of them have this power to summon, a persona. And they form this organization called SEES, S-E-E-S. I don't remember what it stands for. It's like something extracurricular execution shit. I don't remember. But and so they form this group to basically investigate what's going on with Dark Hour. And they're all given this invoker that summons their persona. And, of course, that's like the big controversy that was going on when the game first came out. The invoker looks like a gun, and they shoot themselves in the head. And the funny thing is that they actually mention that in the game as part of the storyline. It's like, I don't know why they had to make the invoker look like a gun. And it's and like the first time you ever run into like a real enemy.
That's called damage control.
The first time you run into a real enemy, it's like the character that you're with just she has trouble actually invoking her persona because it's, you know, it's just psyching her out that it looks like a gun. So, you know, kind of cool that they did it that way. But so during Dark Hour, as I said, everyone turns into coffins and there's this tower that shows up, just happens to show up where your school is. And it's called Tartarus. And this tower is fucking huge. It's separated into blocks. And every floor is randomly generated. So it always looks different when you go back. And the cool thing about it, though, is every time you go back, all the treasure that you found on the floors has also returned. So you can basically go back and get more treasure. So you can, let's say first block is floors 1 through 16. You can do that multiple times, and, you know, rare chests will show up sometimes, and, you know, there's no restriction on how many times you can do it. And each block looks completely different. But the thing about it is, like, each block looks different, but every floor within a block looks pretty much exactly the same. So it gets kind of bland in that respect. But, you know, overall, it's not that big of a deal because it's all randomly generated and you're too busy running around beating shit up anyways. The way you climb the tower is you can get, like, to the top of a block, and then a story event will happen. And I think it's tied to the calendar. It's like you have to get to a certain date in the calendar, and then the next block will open up after you complete that event.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way it works. But,
well, now you said this is a port from the PS2 Persona 3, right?
Right. I believe it's just Persona 3, though, not Fez. I think there's some stuff that's missing from Fez.
Can't you be a girl in this one for PSP?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be... Was that in Fez, or is that something you just added to the PSP version?
That was something that was just added to the PSP version, right.
Oh, okay.
So, well, how does it get compared to the PS2? I mean, I don't know if you looked at screens or anything, but how does the PSP port look, like, aesthetically? How does it look?
I watched some videos from the PS2 one just so I could compare, because I hadn't played the actual game. It looks pretty comparable. I mean, the game visually is it's definitely good for PSP, but there are better looking games out there. But, you know, compared to the PS2 version, it's pretty close, you know. And one of the biggest things that changed about the PSP version is now, have either of you guys played the original? I shouldn't say the original. The first Phantasy Star Portable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it had, like, the map set up where you actually just, like, navigated around. It was like a picture. You had a map in front of you and you navigated around. That's the way this is set up as far as, like, navigation goes.
So you don't walk around.
Yeah, so you don't walk around. And I know in Persona 3 you did walk around. Now...
You definitely did. I have Persona 3. I haven't played Fez, though.
Now, for me, I don't mind that, because I think it makes it more efficient and faster to get through those portions of the game.
On the PSP, for sure.
Yeah. So I didn't mind that at all. That actually, it kind of made me happy, because when I played Phantasy Star Portable that way, I actually liked that. I'm probably one of the few people that did, but when I was playing Persona, it felt the same. So it was easy to get around, and it's like at any time you can hit the square button while you're on a map, and it'll give you all the options of, like, where you can go, and you can go out to, you know, the main map and navigate to a different area and stuff like that. So it was all very fast. So there wasn't a lot of, like, the school is pretty big, you know, it's like three or four halls, and there's tons of people to talk to, and, you know, you don't have to walk up and down the halls. You can just highlight the person you want to talk to and hit the button. So, I mean, it's a lot more efficient that way. When the main portion of the game is getting to Tartarus, which you can only do after school, then, you know, it's pretty big to get through that pretty quickly.
Is everything in there? You said you didn't play the original.
Yeah, I didn't play the original, but...
In terms of, like, because, I mean, Persona 3 had a huge... I wouldn't even say it's a metagame. It's more of, like, big concept of the game is basically making friends.
The social aspect of it?
Yeah,
all
that's
there.
The whole social aspect, yeah.
All that is there. So, basically, you know, on a normal day, you know, you have school days, and there's six school days, Monday through Saturday, poor kids. And, you know, when after school, you have a choice of things that you can do. And, you know, one of the things that you can do is you can join clubs. And these clubs will strengthen social links between you and certain people. And those social links will make your personas that are in that class
stronger.
Right. So you have the option to do that. There's other activities that you can do. Like, you can just go to the library and study, and that'll increase your academics. And there's, like, three, like, stats. And those types of stats, there's academics, charm, and courage, and you can raise those stats like that. And they have an effect on how the game works. So, like, academics, for example, there's actually a point in the game where you get to midterm week, and you have an entire week of midterms, and your academics are part of that. You know, if your academics
that
are
sounds
like...
awesome.
Yeah, I know it sounds really bad, but it does go very quickly. They do it very, very fast. So it's like they do an entire week of exams, and it goes through, and you go through it in like 5 minutes.
Well, do they do the same thing? Because I remember in Persona, like, they would go through a stage where you're in class, And you actually had to remember what your professor was saying, even though you're doing like daydreams. They'd come back and be like, hey, well, what's the answer to this? Yeah. And you actually have to remember. And I was like, because I was that guy playing. I'd be like, fuck, it was just like class. Not paying attention. Like,
I did not want that.
And the funny thing
game.
Is, during class, it's like they talk about like the lecture that they're giving, and it's like, you feel sleepy. Do you go to sleep or continue to listen to the lecture? And it's like, I'm going to continue to listen to the lecture, because if I don't, then I'm not going to get the academic bonus that you're going to give me in 2 seconds.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's the same idea. It's like they'll ask you questions, and if you answer the question correctly in class, you get a charm bonus. And then during exams, they'll ask you the same questions, and if you get them right on the exams, you do better on the exams. It's just weird the way they do it. But
school simulator.
Yeah, it's a school simulator.
2008.
But yeah, so after school, you have the opportunity to do different things. Like there's a mall you can go to, and you can do karaoke, and it increases your courage. You know,
it's there's
like all these little things that you can do when you're not going to the Tartarus Tower. So that's all that social interaction. That's all there. So that's pretty cool.
And the Tartarus Tower is the only time you can actually get in combat and stuff.
Right? Well, Tartarus Tower and there's like the story like missions as well. And the story missions is what breaks up. Well, at least in Portable.
See,
there's okay. like the first block of Tartarus is floors 1 through 16, and you're stuck in floors 1 through 16 until you
for a while.
Yeah, for a while, and then all of a sudden there's this story mission that puts you in a train.
Now, can you do the same thing as the PS2 version where you're basically set? Because I remember you could have like a party of like three, I think it is, right?
It's a party of four, but when you start out with three.
Okay, so like three, but you can send them different ways. Because like, I remember it's like, kind of like a maze, but you can send them like certain ways and they will find shit for you or get about. So it's the same thing that's been ported over.
Yeah, that's been ported over as well. So while you're in Tartarus, while you're walking around, you have the opportunity to give orders to the rest of your team. And, you know, the orders are that you can either just explore, and if you explore, they'll avoid enemies. Or you can tell them to focus on destroying shadows. And if you do that, then as soon as they see a shadow, they blitz after it and they start beating on it. And then you can also tell them to split up. So you can get all four characters going different directions in the maze. And, you know, if they get into a fight and you happen to pass by them, you'll actually see them fighting the enemy. And you can, while you're...
still get the experience?
What's that?
Do they still get the experience?
They do still get experience. Actually, they get more experience that way because they're fighting on their own.
Oh, okay.
But as you're walking by, it's like when you see a shadow, you actually see them. It's not a random generated battle or shit like that. So you can swing your weapon, and if you hit it, you know, you jump into battle. And it also gives you an advantage sometimes, too. So when you're passing by, if you see an enemy fighting one of your characters after you said to split up, you can swing at the enemy that they're fighting, and you'll join in their battle, like, in the middle of it. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool the way they do that.
Yeah. Did they translate like how about the voice acting and everything? Is everything voice acted?
Not everything is voice acted, but there is voice acting in it. When I was looking at videos on YouTube, it did seem like there was more voice acting in the PS2 version, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
I can't really remember offhand. I'm pretty sure almost everything was voice acted in the PS2
version. Yeah, not everything is voice acting.
Could be wrong.
In this one.
Yeah.
But
I didn't get too far because, you know, me and RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, that's the major gist of the game. So when you're in the tower, you know, you're fighting shadows, and the biggest thing about it is, you know.
And, well. Oh.
Go ahead.
Can you create your own personas?
Yes. The persona creation is there. Actually, there's side quests that you can do that say create this persona with this skill. So, you know, you might have to create this weird persona that never gets healing and create it so that he has healing as well. So that's, there's side quests like that. There's side quests where you find different items, like rare items. There's side quests where you have to find rare enemies and then they have to drop an item. So, you know, some of them are kind of tedious and annoying, but you know, the side quests are there. So that's, you know, that again extends the gameplay a bit. But yeah, I mean, overall, fantastic game. I'm really enjoying it. I love how they work the whole strength and weakness thing, because like each of the shadows will have a weakness, and you can ask one of the main characters in the game that actually never goes on a mission with you, but she sticks out 6 behind on the first floor of Tartarus and like will analyze enemies for you and tell you what their weakness is. And then the main character can hold multiple personas where everyone else can only hold one. And so she can switch personas once during battle. So you can find out what the weakness is, switch to that persona, and then just be down on the guys. And if you hit the enemy's weakness, they get to down status. And if you can get all of them into down status, then you can do like this all out attack where everybody just rushes in and does mega damage to everything. So there's a lot of cool gameplay elements in the battle like that. So, you know, I'm really, really enjoying it. As I said, I'm only about 25 hours in. I've gotten to the top of the second block. I'm at floor 40, I think it is. And there's like over 250 floors in this damn tower. So,
oh, it's huge.
Yeah, I knew that I was never going to actually get through the game before I reviewed this game. So,
yeah.
But I highly suggest
it. Are you enjoying it though so
far? Yeah, very much enjoying it. Especially, I mean, from an RPG standpoint, not just a Persona standpoint. Because
I also as a like a portable standpoint, is this like a good? Did they transition it well from?
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the biggest things that they did that a lot of people are talking about is, like, I don't know about how it worked in the PS2 version, but I mean, I know that they have, like, after you go to Tartarus, the members of your party will get tired or even sick, and they have to rest. So you can't go to Tartarus 2 days in a row. If you do, then your characters are really weak and they get, I mean, I actually tried to put a tired character in my party and she got her ass beat down in one shot. It was bad. But I also heard that, like, while in the PS2 version, while you're actually in Tartarus, you could get tired. And the tired status will be just like if you had gotten tired overnight and, you know, they'll weaken. Well, that's taken out. They'll say they're tired, but they never actually lose any power or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about the PS2 version, but, you know, they'll say they're tired, but they aren't. And then when it comes to, I know one of the biggest things is that because the place is so huge, because Tartarus is so huge, on the PS2 version, they would only let you warp to boss floors.
That's all you could do.
Yeah.
You couldn't warp to any of it. Because if you didn't get to the boss, you had to start at the beginning of that floor.
Right. The last boss floor that you got to. In this one, all you have to do is run up to the door and you can start at the highest level that you were at. So, like, I'm on floor 40. I can run up to the door and go straight to floor 40.
Well, Chris, I have a question for you.
All right.
You're 25 hours in, and you said you're on level 40 out of, what, 250?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, levels of the tower? So, my question is, you're 25 hours in, and you're only that far. You're not even halfway through, not even close to halfway through the tower.
Right.
Can you see yourself possibly not ever even finishing this game because of the fact it's so massive and there's so much to do that, I don't know, you're just going to get tired of it?
Well,
like, it's good now, but like 80 levels into the tower, or is it going to be like too much?
Here's the thing. I do think this is a fantastic game. There's a few things about it that are keeping me from thinking it's just the best thing ever, right? So one of the things is, like I mentioned before, the Tartarus is separated into blocks. But all the blocks look the same. And so all the blocks look the same. The enemies that you're fighting in each block look the same and or are the same. So you fight the same group of enemies, right? So there might be like 6 or 7 enemies in a block and you'll fight them over and over and over. So it's very repetitive in that way. Like it's not like every block is 16 floors. It's like, as I said, the first block is up to 16. Well, the second block goes from 17 to 40. So if each one is going to increase like that, I mean, you're looking at, you know, possibly getting up to the point where you're doing 100 floors of the same thing. And I could see that getting really repetitive.
Yeah.
And the other thing that really gets me is I think the music. And
not a big fan.
Well, it's too J-pop-ish. You know,
it is very J-pop. Dude, they have like lyrics and stuff. I remember playing that. I was like, wow. I remember the beginning of that game was pure, like, the first conversation you're having, I don't know if it came over to the PSP, it's like a J-pop song going on in the background, yeah, with like lyrics and everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very J-pop-ish. Wow. But I mean, it doesn't take away from, you know, the fact game. That I'm enjoying the game. You know, if I'm going to throw a rating out there, I mean, it's not the kind of game that I'm thinking about all the time. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, that I have, even if I haven't mentioned it every week, since it's released, I've played it every week.
Well, dude, the fact that you put in like 20, what'd you say, 25?
25 hours, yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. So, I mean, this game definitely gets a major distraction from me. So, but yeah, it's, so, I mean, I really don't know what else to say about it besides the fact that, you know, if you're into RPGs or if you are a Persona fan and, you know, either you haven't played 3 or you just want to play 3 on the go, I mean, this is a fantastic option for you. And, you know, from just a straight up RPG player standpoint, I would say it's very much worth the price. So,
and to check our rating scale, check out www.interactivedistractions.com.
A major distraction is a 4 out of 5.
Or that is the much easier way to put it.
So, yeah, I mean, that went on a lot longer than I wanted to, but I wanted to get that out of the way because I feel like the game deserved to be talked about a little bit more. And, you know, there you have it. So,
cool beans.
Yeah. All right, that's all I have been playing, and we are over an hour into the show, so let's get on to some news.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one of our longest distractions in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that. Who's going first? Who's got something to say? Because I've got a few things, but they'll be really quick.
Drop it on us, man.
All right, well, the first thing I was going to say is because we've been so, you know, hyped up on Valkyria Chronicles lately, one of the big things that's going around is Sega registered the domain Valkyria3.jp. So apparently what? There is a Valkyria Chronicles 3 in the works.
Just pretend.
Well,
booyah!
Is it in the works, or is it? I mean, that's something that companies do just in case they'll go ahead and reserve that domain and get it out of the
way. That's probably
what
it is, to be honest with you. But, you know, it still makes me happy because they're thinking about it. They're thinking about it. And hopefully it'll be back on the PS3. The other thing is that another Sega title that's coming out in a couple of weeks is Phantasy Star Portable 2. Phantasy Star Portable Infinite was announced for Japan. And I'm hoping it comes over here because they are talking about a ton of PSO-like features. Like PSO-type lobbies.
And put back in the good and the fun?
Yes, Jeff. For you, they are going to put back in the good.
Yo, yes. Jeff is in hate mode tonight.
He is in hate mode.
Hate mode. You're a hater, Jeff.
What are you talking about?
Nobody loves a hater. Remember that.
I know.
Well, the last thing I was going
to
mention is
back
that they kind of talked about, you know, we talked about a while back that Castlevania on 360 was going to be two discs, right? And, you know, who cares? It's a linear game. You pop in a disc and you have to change it once. Big fucking deal. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's not the case. Because there's apparently some backtracking that you can do to get like new weapons and stuff, and in that case you might have to be switching out the discs repeatedly. So
it's kind of ridiculous.
Still not a huge deal, but you know, it just kind of solidifies the fact that I would rather get the PS3 version if they're equal or if it's the better version.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Agreed.
Travis, you got anything?
I do, actually. So last week it was you know, leaked, but, you know, the guys over at Harmonix never really confirmed the track listing that was leaked of about 80 or so tracks. 83, I believe there were. But, you know, this week they finally said, okay, yes, it is real. It is out. They put out a video saying, okay, these are the track listings that will be available for the game. I, for one, and this is kind of like the majority of folks are even kind of saying this, do not like the 83 song track list. I wasn't a big fan either.
It looks like
I have not seen this yet.
And,
so
okay, well here
you
go, Jeff. Okay, Jeff, we're gonna put on your hard hat, dude. We're gonna drop some knowledge.
Let's do it.
My problem is
go through all 83. Let's do this. Let's kill fucking 20 minutes. Go.
Yeah. My problem is it's too random. This is Rock Band, and maybe 25-30% of this is actually rock music.
Bullshit. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so here's the deal. Numbers 1 through 83.
1 through 83. Starting at number 1.
I want you to give me 4 numbers one by one. Give me number.
I'll give you 7.
Okay, 7.
I'll give you
Okay, real quick. Big Country singing their smash hit In a Big Country.
Okay.
I have never heard of that.
I've never heard of that.
I'm going to save what my comment till later because, okay, let's go with 17.
17. Okay. Dio. That's rock. I'll give you that. That is rock.
Yeah,
okay. It's not. I mean, that's like thrash or fucking devil metal, actually, if you think about it. But it's still. You know what? It belongs in this game.
It belongs in there, but this is a song that no one ever picks when you're playing Rock Band unless someone can actually sing it.
Plus, the songs are usually devilishly hard.
Exactly.
And then,
let's
okay,
go
give
with
me another one.
21.
Okay, 21. Dover. singing their number one single hit, King George.
Okay, never heard of it. Are we going from 1 through 80-something?
80-something, yeah.
Let's go 74.
Them Crooked Vultures. Have you ever heard of them?
I have, actually. I don't know anything that they do, but I've heard of the band.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you some randoms on top of that.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's do this.
Rilo Kiley. You got Ozzy in there. You know, you have The Police, things that we're kind of used to already. But then you have James Brown.
Okay.
Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Huey Lewis and the News, yeah. That's okay. That's kind of, people like to sing that shit.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, one of the reasons that it's probably so random is because they're trying to find some keyboard-centric music.
Oh, exactly. Because they need to sell their peripheral, right? So,
give me More Than One Door song. Because they have Break On Through, which is great, but give me more, you know? Give me Light My Fire, you know? Give me more of that, which I'm sure will come out, like, in terms of, you know, album releases and everything.
Yeah.
But it's just so random. You have Blondie, and you have, you know, Beach Boys. I love these bands. Okay, they have classic songs, but, you know, pick your spots, man. This is Rock Band. Give
is
us
there
some
anything
rock. You know,
rock, like,
it's easy to hate.
Are any of the big bands that
it's easy to...
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, is there any big bands that they were expecting that made it in here this year? Or any ones that, like...
Yeah,
like, I'm still
say,
waiting for
your...
Tool. Is Tool in here? Because Tool's on Guitar Hero.
No, Tool's not on here. You have your obvious... Like I said, you have Ozzy, you have The Who, you have The Doors, you have... I mean, they have some Slipknot on here.
Dude, you know, which, I know songs? Which song? Which song?
Before I Forget.
Nice. Okay, that's a good song.
You know,
okay.
So they have some winners, but then they have some stuff that, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's really not exciting, like, you know, Stone Temple Pilots. Yay!
What song is it?
Plush.
Oh, dude, Plush is one of the best.
Awesome.
No,
what are you talking about?
I love Plush, but give us something better to play.
Dude, that's like, what I've been waiting. Plush is finally, fuck.
Hey, Jeff.
It was on a guitar. They have some Devo.
Nice.
Whip it.
It's just that nothing's blowing my mind.
Yeah. I could do, oh, fuck. They have Freebird. What? I could do without that.
I thought Freebird was already on there.
No, it was on Guitar Hero.
Oh.
And I could do without Marilyn
Flash
Manson as well.
Manson's on there?
Yeah.
Which songs?
Beautiful People.
Oh, no, Beautiful People. It is, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I'm sorry. I like Manson, whatever.
That could be fun to play. I could say that could be fun to play.
That'd be fun to sing and play any instrument.
Of all the songs that are on here, the one song that I'm really, really pumped about is Radar Love.
Out of 83?
Out of all 83, Radar Love is like the only song that I'm just like, oh, dude, Golden Earring? Radar Love? That's a shame.
You know what? At this point, I just want Harmonix to be like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck the disc thing. Put it her stuff. We can make new peripherals. DLC everything.
You can hold your breath on that, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, that's it. It's not a complete star-studded, like... When Rock Band 2 came out and they showed us that track listing, I was like, oh my god, there's so many songs on
track
here.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Hey, but I mean, how do you deny the Beach Boys? Come on.
I like the Beach Boys, but come on, man.
Okay, well, seriously
for this game?
Better than that, though, guys. Big news. Red Dead Redemption.
What?
It's supposed to be getting put into a, like, a,
oh,
as a movie.
I heard about this.
What?
You did hear about this.
I did.
This is pretty hot. Travis, you listening?
I'm listening.
Because we both enjoyed that game a hell of a lot. John Marsden was a great character.
Who's playing him?
Brad Pitt has apparently been given the right to first refusal for the role.
Really?
For this epic Western that would be put into a movie. So he hasn't accepted it. He is not the person who's going to be playing John Marsden, but he's been given... the right of first refusal, which basically means it's yours if you want it.
I gotta say, in terms of a direction that you're trying to take with a video game and, you know, a video game movie, they're heading in the right direction. I like it. I'm a big Brad Pitt fan, to be honest with you. I think he's done a lot of stuff that is like, oh, but he's, I mean, if you've ever seen the movie where he portrayed Jesse James, he's fucking amazing in that movie. He's nuts, and he's really, really good. So he's got the acting chops, you know. He's got the ability, and I think, and he's done the Western thing before. I don't know if this was your Who Gives a Shit or not.
Oh, yeah, it might have been.
It was mine.
Might have been,
because,
I mean...
Really?
First of all, it's a movie about a video game. Second of all, it's Brad Pitt.
No one knew about this, and really, it's a video game turned into a movie.
And
I don't know.
And my thought
Brad
is...
Brad Pitt giving the first right to refusal... basically means, here's some fucking money, mail in your performance.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Sorry.
That was the weakest Who Gives a Shit ever, but I could not give it rats. You know what? I could probably think of, yeah, whatever.
All right. Hey, Jeff? Filter, yeah. Hey Man, Nice Shot. It's on Rock Band 3.
Oh, is it
cool.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I love that
fucking
song.
That's fucking rad. That is their only good song, but... Well, not their only, but...
Yeah. It's one of their only.
and so is Lasso by Phoenix.
Okay.
Exactly.
Come on, we have to leave... That's like two failed in a row.
anyway.
All right.
Let's
take a break.
Was the one that went across the best.
An hour and a half into the show. Let's take a break.
Let's do this.
We're going to come back and do some contest entries, and then after that, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week.
Question of the week.
And I have an idea for next month's contest that I'm going to run by these guys.
You do.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I kind of pee. Let's do this.
It's time to wake up.
Bye. And welcome back.
You're welcome, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's contest entry time, baby.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I think some people applied for jobs at Indus Corporate headquarters, which is
good.
Like,
the economy is pretty shit right now, so we'll see what happens.
I want to see what kind of jobs they applied for and you know, how qualified they are for those jobs. So, Travis, tell us who applied for jobs at Indus Corporate headquarters.
Well, our first applicant is Joe Fate, a.k.a. Aces High.
Hey, he says, what's up, Aces?
Hey, guys.
I am talking about my asshole.
Thought I would try my hand at this monthly competition. So here we go. Jeff's Moose Whipper. The official job ad is as follows. Has anyone ever told you that you're lacking in the lower regions? How did you think the entire force of Canada feels? Their lower regions, quote unquote, of internet tubes have been small and shriveled since they were first birthed. And it didn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. As legend has it, Canada's entire internet is powered by one very pissed off moose.
And only one man
to whip the hell out of it when it's acting up. That man is Jeff Chorney. And he is getting overworked, to say the least. Jeff needs your help. And he needs it fast by taking up this offer. You fully agree to move to Canada and assume Jeff's moose-whipping responsibilities. There is an upside, though. You get to play fun and exciting games with a pissed-off moose, such as feed the moose, give the moose a drink, whip the moose when it's being cranky. The occasional, I bet I can walk up and punch that moose in the face without it eating my fist off. Is that guy on a moose? Holy shit, it's a Mountie. And God, I'm blind. That's a horse, not a moose. You may ask, what qualifies Aces for this Indus job? My answer to that question is simple. I'm the guy willing to punch the moose in the face. Not much else is needed there. When there are internet troubles in the land of the great white, I will be there. When there are moose that need a quick, swift punch in the face, I will be there. Aces High 291, Jeff Chorney, and Interactive Distractions does not condone moose abuse. Moose are animals just like the rest, and they deserve to be treated with respect, not just from Canadians, but Americans too. You know what? So true.
It is so true.
Thank you, Aces. That is pretty funny. Great, great start. And, man, I really wish there were more Canadian ones. Holy shit, wait a minute. Biff sticks here to throw out my Indus occupation, the position, Canadian moose milker.
Oh, God.
The background. Every morning, Mr. Chorney and T go to Tim Hortons for a large coffee and Timbits. Instead of the icky half and half or whole milk, they rush home for the delicacy of a delicious pint of moose milk. Now, the responsibilities. Your job is to arrive at Jeff's residence at 5 a.m. to begin the milking process. First, you must provide a mixture of grains and hay to Victoria, who is the moose.
Victoria.
And while she's eating, you begin the milking process. After using the powerful hands to milk the udders of Victoria, you're ready for processing. The milk is separated into two tin deciliters, carafes, one marked G and the other marked T. From there, they're put in coolers to be served when Jeff and Tanya beckon for you. Any unused moose milk is then disposed of since they both desire fresh milk each day. Is that important? Like good fresh milk?
Oh, definitely. For sure.
Absolutely. It's the cornerstone.
Especially if it's moose milk. I mean, moose milk, just, it's not good if it's been over a day old.
Really quickly too. Yeah.
It's the cornerstone of a delicious Canadian meal, pretty much. That's what I've heard.
Oh, yeah. It goes
that's the word around the street. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that he specified that the moose was a female. My first thought was that ain't milk at all.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that is pretty much it for all the Canadian-based ones. So this next one comes up. Let's see. It says, all right, guys, I was just checking into the Indus corporate website. One ads. I spotted this article for a job that I think I could handle. Canadian joke authenticator and more necessity advisor.
Did I actually say that? I just threw it there.
good.
Better Tomorrow continues on and says, the Indus Corp is looking for an applicant who is enthusiastic, hardworking, and can prove themselves a determined and contributing team member, or is at least Canadian. In the position of Canadian joke authenticator and more necessity advisor, you can see a written copy of every Canadian joke that is submitted by Indus and or non-Canadian host. You will have them. You will have to put each joke through a rigorous process, which includes 99-point inspection, which will, in the end, determine whether the joke is legitimate Canadian joke or is mere a true fact about the country. Examples include the following. A writer includes this line in an email. Watch out for the moose in Toronto, Jeff. You will then receive a written copy of said joke, and it will be your job to research the facts about moose occupation in Toronto and determine whether this is a joke or a fact. You will then send the details of your findings stating whether there are, in fact, a moose in Toronto or not to the host of one of the Indus podcasts, and they will get the green light to whether or to get the green light whether or not to or respond to the comment of the objector. So they can either moa or respond with a simple, "Why, thank you, listener. Look out for the moose in Toronto." You will also have to be on the lookout for potential twists on the joke. For example, you might discover during your research that there's actually a junior hockey team in Toronto called the Toronto Canadian Moose. So to a Canadian citizen, this appears normal. To a non-Canadian resident, this could easily be viewed as something far more humorous. The applicant must also be knowledgeable on the commonalities of the Canadian culture that to others come across as a joke. You must be aware that when such facts are acknowledged by a non-Canadian listener or host, that the use of "moo" is almost always required. These may include, up to and not including, kids playing hockey on the $5 bill, Brian Adams, maple syrup in general, igloos, a boot, Mounties, the Canadian, tire monkey, and Quebec. Because such things may not be direct jokes.
And Quebec.
Because some things are not direct jokes, approval of the use of "moo" can also be combined with the counter arguments for Mr. Chorney, such as universal healthcare says hi. What was that? I couldn't hear you over the sound of not being shot at. And finally, fuck off. We have Tim Hortons. All findings must be submitted to Confidence Man and or Jack Bauer for stats submission. Nice. And finally, some quick further qualifications. The applicant must expect to be paid in Canadian currency, and most cases in change to or Petro-Canada gas vouchers. Applicants must be able to hum the old and new Hockey Night in Canada theme upon request. For safety reasons, applicants must be able to decipher the difference between Nickelback and Theory of a Dead Man. This might be a trick question. And that was from Jeff, a.k.a. That's Better Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Theory of a Bad Band. That's what we call them here.
Sean Recupido.
Theory of a Bad Band? Is that what you said?
Theory of a Bad Band. Theory of a Dead Man. But,
I like Theory of a Dead Man a little bit.
Yeah, well.
I'm lying. I like one song that was an Indigo Prophecy. the next one comes from Sean Recupido. He sends in a real quick short one. The position applying for, correspondent to talk about all the shit you guys don't give a shit about. The qualifications, I'm an expert in liking stuff that other people
John Madden
don't give a shit about, like Linux or soccer.
Hey, wait.
I know it's short, but hey, if I could have a chance at free money, why not?
I like Linux. What are you talking about?
Who gives a shit? Oh, dude, that's 0 for 3. We have to get a good who's a shit in there somewhere. Sorry, go ahead, Travis.
Zeke comes in with another job application. He says, "Hi, my name is Zeke, and I would like to apply for the open position as slap bet commissioner at the end of the office."
Oh, nice.
Oh, God.
As stated a requirement in your invoice. I have previous experience with resetting JAWS, even Canadian ones. Please note, though, that the northern Sasquatch anatomy differs from us humans, but the neat thing is that you can use a broken hockey stick as a bone replacement. As the recent influx of unauthorized gambling on the podcast is out of control, I respect you for taking this seriously enough to hire a professional. I can only imagine the uproar you had from PETA after you let that squirrel get tortured for 3 minutes on your last show. Wait a minute. Hey, fuck you, dude.
I'd like to thank all the fans for showing some love and support about my song. It was awesome. Sorry. Then he came out and called you a squirrel. You're not allowed to win, Zeke. Sorry. Travis won a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm back. I had to dry my eyes a little bit. Anyway, I have a master's of science in mechanical engineering, which might come in handy for building traps and constrainers. And no, this is not a Moose reference. I would just feel a lot safer if I knew that Jack Bauer and Confidence Man, a second shout-out, had to go through some tower defense-like security when they eventually stormed the office during a nerdgasm. To be honest, I'm just looking for a way out of the European equivalent of Canada, so if you already filed the position, I'd be happy as resident trophy whore. Just give me a green card. Coming from Zeke, P.S. I used to work for the Swedish military, so I know how to keep a secret. One might even say I have a great poker face. P.P.S. Sorry, Travis. I just had to. You get two thumbs up and an ass slap for me for sticking to your word.
Good hustle.
Good hustle. Good game. Good game.
Good game. Good hustle.
And an ass slap. How do you like that?
And an ass. Well, you have to.
You have to.
It's not gay.
That's right. None at all.
Exactly. It's a manly thing to do.
It's a manly thing to do.
You'll see it in his fest. Lots of ass grabbing.
Gonna think we're weird. Another person that does not think is weird is our buddy Big C3. He says, hey guys, if Big C here. I was listening to a few back episodes for whatever reason, and I realized I haven't emailed in a while. So here's my application to your job vacancy. I'm here to fill the post of Ultimate Supreme Executive Chairman. I'm a big guy, about 6'4", with big ambitions. From my super secret lair located in eastern Scotland, along with the M8, and take the left turn at Junction 6, proceed 500 yards, and make a left turn. I have fooled the world into believing that Bill Gates founded Microsoft. It was me, who did this. I just retain a small part of the profit in order to keep the gas bills paid. Anyway, I can use these skills within your corporation to propel you to the top of the iTunes podcast and achieve the award for best podcast ever. Of course, all I ask is for my anonymity and my 98.3 cut of the profits.
98.3. You're welcome to 98.3% of our profits. That you, that gets you, can, you 100% of zero. Our profits,
actually. So that pretty much means you're going to be giving us money to recoup the money that we spend.
Pretty much. That you're actually going to be supplying the majority of the money. So thank you for that.
And thank everybody at IndusFest can thank Big C3 as being our benefactor.
That's right.
Continuing on, he says, oh, and you must all give me my daily massage. You may do it in turn or all at once. I do not mind. As long as you remember the olive oil and the toys. Soon my minions will
this is getting creepy.
It is getting a little creepy here. Soon my minions will be raking in all the profits and buying yourselves pure 500 karat gold PlayStations with my careful guidance, of course. Keep it real, guys. A lot like this email. And I'll email again soon. Craig, a.k.a. as Big C3. 500 karat gold PlayStations. I'm kind of down.
That's insane.
I would do it. I'd massage. It's a gold PlayStation.
Well, you do more than that.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not falling for this trick.
Dude, you did more than that to lose a bet.
He said PlayStations. So if these are like 500 karat gold PlayStation ones, no thank you. PlayStation 2 are up and I'm in.
Dude, if there's still that many carats in gold, I'll still take that and sell it to buy something like a nice hat.
A toque, if you will.
A toque.
A toque, exactly.
Right.
A diamond-studded toque. I don't know how to buy a diamond-studded toque with gold. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, Mike PSN08 writes, hello, Indus Corp. I, Mike PSN08, am applying for a job opening for setting up special events like Indus Fest the Deuce.
Deuce!
I assume that if you hire me, you will never forget any events that I plan out for Indus Corp. Indus Fest the Deuce will now be a big festival for all ages. There will be a tent full of game consoles and handheld devices for anyone to try out the newest games, or even games not just released like the new Super Mario Bros. 2. This time, it's bigger than newer than ever, bitches. This is a kid's show and we're calling people bitches? Okay.
They're invited to Indus Fest, which is a big drunk fest.
I'll even have the kids see how Microsoft Kinect is a fucking ripoff from the Sega Activator, and also see how Sony totally improves the Wiimote with its penis-vibrating shock controller used in most of their upcoming titles later this fall. Yes, kids, we will learn from Kinect on how to pet a friendly puma or tiger before heading to their local zoo to pet a live one. Also included is a petting zoo that Jeff will be responsible for. Hey, everybody, would love to see Jeff would love to see and pet Jeff's moose Torgo. Now for the most
Torgo the moose returns.
That's right. That moose is my bitch. Saying.
For the more mature adults, we have the Lazy Moose Gentleman Hostess Club. Here you can sit your lazy fucking ass down and enjoy the Hostess Club like in Yakuza atmosphere. But the thing is, no booty slapping or groping any hostesses will be allowed unless approved by your hostess herself. See, I'll bring the right atmosphere to Indus Fest the Deuce that people of all ages will want. This event will be such a huge success. Everyone will want to see Indus Fest the Trice in 2011. So after reading the resume and references with Joel from PS Nation and Scott from The Goo, I hope you consider in hiring this party expert. Mike PSN08 nice. Saying, Indus Fest the Deuce. I wish I could.
You did pick two respectable references, I'm just saying.
Well, one. I don't know about that Scott.
Oh.
And moving on to our final. Our final applicant, Mr. Joseph.
Final applicant. Do we have any voicemails for applicant before we go on to Travis's last one?
No, we don't.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks. Confidence Man 2. He's applying for...
We need someone to apply for fucking continuity and... whatever.
Yeah, this cat pretty much... this cat pretty much already has a job.
I know. He goes into stats.
So,
if we ever actually make profit off of this, I think we're actually required to hire him.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, seriously.
So, applying for this position is the publicity and image consultant. The reason for applying, I want to improve interactive distractions, visibility in the gamer community. I like where this is going. Applicable skills, multilingual. I can speak English. I can speak Canadian, British, or Australian.
Wow.
That's impressive, dude.
Right, right. Can cast buffs on other employees to improve their efficiency. Has voice training in case bets are made in the near future. He can dual wield.
Nice.
He's proficient in organizing items in list form. And he says, I fight ninjas. Yeah, ninjas. Past employment, he was the anger management therapist at Santa Monica Studios for the God of War franchise, 2005 to present.
Wow, big fail.
He was the image consultant for Eidos, Canon Lynch, 2006 to 2007. And he was the professional moose wrangler at the Chorney Ranch from 2000 and 2005. Work references, your mom. The other one, your mom's face.
Well, if it was Travis's mom, I guarantee it would be a glowing review. Insane.
Other comments. I've been data mining for your podcast for free, so if you don't mind hiring me. I've been data mining for your podcast for free, so if you don't hire me, do you know what that's called? Exploitation. Speaking of exploitation, exactly. I have acquired some interesting information about two of the founders of Indus Corp. Attached is a picture of Jason A. Stryker and Chris Riccio soliciting what may be a male prostitute in Los Angeles. According to Private Eye Reports, Mr. A. Stryker asked the man to put on an Indus shirt and then lick his face
now
before touching my Unistick. If you are interested in keeping this a secret, then I demand a callback within 72 hours. So Confidence Man is actually extorting us with a picture of Chris and Jason picking up some brandish roundabout from the mean streets of California. And yeah, it's pretty incriminating, guys. I mean, Chris, what do you have to say for yourself, man?
I have no idea. He's looking at Jason.
Was it good loving?
I was here spooning Travis when this happened, so I don't know what you're talking about.
he sent us a picture of Jason, Nico, and I in LA, and Jason's got his arm, or I'm sorry, Nico's got his arm around Jason, and he's sticking his tongue out at him.
Nice.
Yeah. Show notes.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's going there for sure.
So that
you can't just
it.
Read. Yeah. Actually, Travis, we're not done.
Oh.
We got a last minute entry here.
Okay.
Sent to me. Here we go. We'll get to it in a second. Okay, here it goes. Dear Interactive Distractions Human Resources Personnel, I'm writing to you today to express interest in your job posting on AtlantaJobs.com. I think that I am a really good candidate for the position, and I exhibit some qualities that could be a great addition to your team. Let me explain how great I would fit by talking about my experience with my own podcast, Welcome to the Goo.
Oh, God.
My management skills...
Is this from Scott?
My management skills are unmatched. Our fairly average audio podcast is well known for not informing our listeners of upcoming content until the day of. Most times, even, we walk into the show unprepared, and yet we're still able to hit the extremely consistent running time in between 90 and 180 minutes of length. We're also uncomfortable
it's
about
an
our
hour
own
and
skills.
A half to 3 hours. It's fine.
We're also really uncomfortable about our skills in the air. So we've notoriously invited guests from around our humble podcast network to make ourselves sound better. We even brought on a third person on recently to add to our mediocrity. In addition to my superiorly inadequate management skills, I also possess some mediocre ability in writing articles for our website. I am highly productive in releasing articles on a not anywhere near regular basis, most times utilizing the content of press releases as the main part of my content. I rarely have my own opinions on any of the topics discussed, and really just act as a regurgitation of material that is readily available elsewhere on the internet with little searching. My opinions during the podcast, however, is possibly my strongest suit. More often than not, they are completely unfounded by the little to no backing. I also tend to be bullheaded, so you know, every time that I open my mouth... Well, sorry, hold on. I also tend to be bullheaded, so you know, every time that I open my mouth that I will not back down to any sort of reason, no matter how properly formatted it may be. Wow, I butchered that sentence bad. Anywho... this is truly my strongest aspect, as it illustrates just how powerful my convictions and drive can be, a quality that I am sure would be appreciated in your organization. I am truly excited at this opportunity, and I really hope that these skills will put me in the forefront of your consideration for the position of subpar, vertically challenged diva podcaster to be used as a replacement for Jason. Please feel free to contact me via phone anytime in your convenience at 414 fuck you. Sincerely, Scott S. Sauer. P.S.
Oh, shit.
I love you, bitches.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Oh shit, I'm like crying right now. Okay. Oh man.
Okay, so just to he's going for the some are vertically challenged diva podcaster to be used as a replacement for Jameson position.
Oh wait, he's talking about me.
Oh shit.
Rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
Fuck he's staying, you.
Rebuttal. He's staying at my house for Endless Fest. Motherfucker, better not go to sleep. You watch your back, Scott Sauer.
Oh my goodness.
That's it. No, 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 no. I'm talking to you, Scott. You watch your back, because I will take you out. Take you out. Cut an ear off.
All right. I guess we need to choose a winner.
We can say, sorry, Scott, you're disqualified from the prize just because you're part of the Goo and part of the VGvo network. So you cannot win.
All right. Well, that's fair. Then I have a clear winner at this point.
I got a clear winner at this point, too. I don't know if it matches you guys.
And,
but
and I kind of feel bad because I think he's won one of our contests before.
Really?
Yeah, I think he has. At least mine has.
Con Man?
Okay. No, I was going to go with Better Tomorrow.
I was going with Better Tomorrow as well.
Has Better Tomorrow won?
I think he has won once.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But hey, well, that, you know, we don't discriminate, man. He made us laugh. That's it.
And as much as I don't like to go a whole like Canadian jokes thing, because it's kind of been played on a lot, the fact that he brought in the whole moo and hasn't like judged between whether it's a moo or an actual legitimate Canadian joke, I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly how that whole inside joke started. Like, literally.
He won the June contest.
Oh, really?
Link's Crossbow Training 2 for Wii Motion Plus SD.
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
The E3. Yeah, like, what was the best? E3 okay,
one.
That's right. That was a really good one, man.
That was a really good one.
And, well, you know what? He wins again, then, because
I was laughing my ass off.
That's good shit. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why that never gets old. I really don't.
I just love that he contrasted the entire... He wasn't even there, and he understands how the inside joke went and why we do that versus real Canadian. That was good stuff, man. That was fucking brilliant in my eyes. That was good stuff. Travis, do you have a different person or no?
I was either with Confidence Man or Better Tomorrow, so, you know, majority rule.
Yeah, I think we have to go with Jeff. Jeff, you're not allowed to enter next month.
How does he spell his name?
J-E-F-F.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to cancel my decision, and I'm going to go with that.
Confidence Man wins.
I'm kidding.
All right, so congratulations. Better Tomorrow. You have won again. We will get you your Amazon gift card. You know how it worked last week or last time, so we'll get it to you again this week. And this time around, I think Travis has something for us. My idea got vetoed, by the way, but Travis has something better, I think.
Well, we optioned out the movie rights for the Interactive Distractions movie.
Indus Fest, the movie.
So, that being said, we need actors to portray us. That's right. We need people to play us. Now, I say us, meaning us four, including Jason. If there are other people that are in and around, the podcast, you know, I guess throw them in there. We need to be casted into our roles. So, you know, is there anything else that guys, I mean, this, you know, do they want to add anything else to it?
They can add a plot, make it funny, man.
They can add a fucking storyline.
They could do whatever the hell they want, man. You know, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Great. Great.
Throw in actors. I mean, keep in mind that you can throw in the angels in there too. I mean, they're part of this as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So you know, portray actors to portray us, and then if you want to throw in a plot too, then you know, do that.
We're giving you wiggle room.
Hell yeah.
That's the wiggle room.
That's right.
Be creative.
And if you guys can guess the actor that will portray me that Crystal picked in a similar conversation in a long time ago. You automatically get my vote. How about that? It won't happen. Torn? Don't worry. No, it won't happen. Don't worry. I don't even know who the fuck that is. That's okay. Who was that?
The guy who's in Men in Black.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yes, I am.
All right, that's pretty good.
It's in the Larry Sanders that's show with Gary Shandling. He's fucking brilliant. Oh, love it. Love it.
Oh, man.
I think I'm going to – I think I might be throwing another contest out there next week.
It's two and one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to. This will be a little different though. Let me work it out first.
Okay. All right,
I'm not
going to
announce anything
it.
Yet, but right. I'm working on something.
Well, we have a contest winner. We need to find out who it is and announce it too. Right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we have another contest winner that we need to announce, don't we?
I mean, yeah, you guys were so awesome with the Cast Medium reviews. We definitely wanted to reward at least one of you randomly. So everybody has a shot. I mean, you guys, we said it last week, you guys were fucking awesome. You really took care of us. We asked you for help, and, you know, you were there. You know, contest or not, you guys were there for us, and we appreciate that. So someone is going to be rewarded, you know, for that and everything like that. So we're randomly going to pick from 1 through 9 for the people who commented on Cast Medium. Chris, can you pull up random.org?
Already done, brother.
Already done. And
the winner is... Lucky number 7.
Lucky number 7. And
who is
let's
it?
See who is the winner. BB Media.
BB Media.
Nice.
Congratulations. Cool. And what does he win?
Congrats.
I'm going to get his address, and I'm going to send you a $25 GameStop card.
That's pretty awesome, dude.
25 bones, man. You can't beat that just for, you know, helping us out and thinking about us. So. Cool deal. And if you make that Lady Gaga Travis the Game Monster car, I'm revoking that $25. So I'm just letting you know.
Necro
was trying to have him make a Lady Gaga car for me, and I
Dude, you would love it. Come on, seriously.
I probably would love it. Okay, fuck it.
Yeah, you would. You'd love the attention. You'd be like, yeah, cool, my car.
You don't know me. Anyway, yeah, congratulations, BB. Good stuff, man. Thank you again. Thanks to everybody. That was really cool for what you guys did for us.
That was awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Hey, guys.
Yo,
hey. Let's do some new releases. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Big Pete.
So I got one of those voicemails
Pistol
again.
Pete.
Pistol Pete.
Peach Dragon.
PSP.
PSP, yeah.
All right, here we go.
So this week has a couple of big releases.
Pete Sanchez.
So first up, we have Valkyria Chronicles 2 for the PSP, which you discussed heavily last week, so we'll move
True.
On. Nintendo's bringing out the next Metroid title. That's Metroid Other M. It's not on a Sunday, which is a bit odd for them for a big name, but yeah, that's it. It's being made by Team Ninja, so it looks pretty interesting. We'll see how that one goes. It also looks like the Gunblade New York and LA Machine Guns arcade hits pack I'd mentioned last week got pushed back, so that may or may not be coming out this week. And for downloads, it looks like the run of beat-em-ups is continuing, with the PS3 getting Castle Crashers finally.
Yeah!
And 360 is getting an interesting thing. It's getting Dead Rising 2 Case Zero, which, from what I could tell, it's meant to bridge the story between the first and second Dead Rising, because, you know, the story is so important in that game. But it kind of looks like a demo to me, but I don't know. It's only 400 points, so either way, it's not very expensive. And because it's a 360 game, I guess you could play a demo of what may be a demo or something. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Adventures
play a
of
demo
Pete?
Of the demo.
Adventures of what?
Adventures of Pete and Pete. The Nickelodeon.
You would know that, Travis. All right, I'm gonna fill in the few gaps here.
It hurts so much to think of different things to say.
For PS3, PS3 is also getting Battlefield Bad Company 2 Ultimate Edition. And let's see here. PSP is also.
What does that entail exactly?
I don't know. To be honest,
all
with
the
you.
DLC maybe or something.
Probably. I mean, I would. That's what I would think. I can look it up for you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't. All right, PSP is also getting Ace Combat Joint Assault.
That's cool.
360 is also getting Battlefield Bad Company 2 Ultimate Edition. The Wii is also getting Guilty Party. That sounds kind of weird
for
a Wii
game. The last bachelor party I went to.
I'm kidding.
And DS is getting Camp Rock the Final Jam.
Oh, hell yeah.
Pick of the week.
Should we even...
Metroid.
Yeah, you're probably gonna go for Metroid, but I know.
I'm going Metroid, dude. Are you kidding me?
I'm going Valkyria.
Valkyria.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Because I know I'm getting that. I'm gonna buy that day one, and I know that I'm gonna end up sitting on Metroid.
Did Pete say it was weird that was coming out on a Sunday?
No, he said it's weird that it's not coming out on a Sunday. It's coming out on the 31st, which is the same time.
It's published by Nintendo.
It's published by Nintendo. Yeah, it's not a third-party title.
Yeah, it's not developed by Nintendo. That might be why. But I don't think it matters. I think they do.
No, I think it's usually first-party stuff that comes out on Sundays.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's a first-party published game. It's just not a first-party developed game.
Okay. Either way, anyway. I want Metroid.
Cool. All right, let's do some emails, Travis.
All right.
We got to get this show over with.
It says, what up, Endis? This is Ross.
What's up, Ross?
Also my username on VG Evo. I've been listening for a while, but this is my first time writing in. I recently moved back to the Atlanta area from Savannah, so I'm a local listener as well. I just wanted to give you all a shout out and say thanks for the great podcast. I look forward to meeting everyone at the Deuce.
Yeah.
If you want to get together sometime before then, feel free to hit me up later, Ross.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. Actually, quick little story. So this guy Ross, it's really funny. I was at work. So for those who don't know, I own a Sonic Drive-In here right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And one of my assistant managers is a young lady. Her name is Naomi. And I kind of keep podcast stuff kind of away. People know that I do it, but I don't really talk about it. I keep business.
So you're ashamed?
Kind of.
sorry that we cause you shame.
Shame for one-third of this podcast. The un-American part of the podcast. Hate. Anyway, she comes up and, and she's like, she randomly says, so you getting ready for the deuce? Is that what you're trying to say? How do you know about that? And she goes, funny story. And the story was, she had a friend of hers, which ended up being Ross, that she hadn't talked to in quite some time. And she had mentioned, Ross had mentioned that he plays video games a lot and probably one of the biggest gamers that she'll ever meet. And she's like, well, have you met my boss? And his name's Travis. And he's like,
so how did she know you're a big gamer, though?
Oh, I mean, I talk about video games a lot at work. It's like my favorite hobby ever. So, I mean,
yeah, of course,
not going to hide that. He was like, wait a minute, Travis works at he owns a Sonic. Likes video games. Is this Travis Baum by any chance? And it blew my assistant manager's mind. She was just like, whoa, what, really? So when she told me the story, it ended up that we had a listener that was friends with my assistant manager. And it was just
that's pretty crazy.
A little 3 degrees of separation type deal. So anyway, yeah, that's him. And I gave him a call and said, hey, dude, write into the show. And well, there he is. And thank you for writing in. We appreciate it. And then one last little quick little email. Always one of our favorites. Endostats compliments.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Again? Didn't we just have one last
week? Yeah. Are you complaining? You bitching?
No, I'm not at all. I'm just thinking, is this one week afterwards or?
Well, here is the last of the old school Endostats. So I guess a lot of the leftovers.
Actually, no, the last one was when Jason was on, I think. When you guys did it, I wasn't there.
Yes. So. The end of stats for episode 118 to 123. The number of times Chris mentions Phantasy Star or Castlevania, 9. The number of times Travis mentions Call of Duty or Madden, 9. The number of times Jeff mentions God of War or Halo, 60.
Holy shit.
Oh, no fucking way. What is the time stamp for this? What is the limit?
118 to 123. I believe this is around
ODST time.
I don't know, 60? Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's got to be a lot of God of War 3 then, I think.
Yeah, I think that's God of War 3 time.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's probably the God of War 3 time.
That's got to be mostly God of War 3. But I'm a big Xbox. Fuck you, Hat Man.
Sorry,
by the way, I can't wait till fucking Travis kicks your ass even harder next time you guys play football. because I heard you got raped the first time.
Oh, man, he's going to hate you.
I don't care.
The number of emails read on the show, 57. The number of voicemails played on the show, 12. The number of random questions asked by Aces High, 2. Number of semi-random questions asked by not Aces High, 19.
Oh, we already told Aces that. Oh, he did. He's been doing it every single week.
He's been getting more consistent with it now.
Yeah. The number of times Travis says, hey, 1.
What?
Times Chris.
That's bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on that.
The number of times Chris says, nice, 12.
Okay.
That's probably accurate.
That's like for this is one show, right?
The number of times Travis says, buddy, even though according to South Park, this should be Jeff's catchphrase, but that's 8. The number of times I say buddy.
Yeah, I don't ever got that. That's not a Canadian thing.
Do I say buddy a lot?
You do,
actually.
But I don't think everyone's like, South Park basically ties it to Canadian, and Canadians don't say buddy a lot at all. Maybe it's an Eastern thing, maybe. I don't know. But
I don't know. Yeah. Well, the number of times anyone mentions Canada, moose sausage, or anything that refers to Jeff being Canadian, 13.
That's not too bad.
When he does the Indus stats for this episode, that's going to be a much different number.
The number of times anyone mentions the Unistick, super the fucking Jason mode, fuck you, or anything that refers to a Jason A. Striker catchphrase, 7. The number of playful jabs against other podcasts, 4.
I can guarantee you it's against one.
That's probably mostly Travis going, the goose sucks.
Oh, it could be that too, yeah.
The number of times Mass Effect has been mentioned, 24.
Okay.
The number of times people mention that Bioshock 1 has iron sights, 7.
Dude, this must be a while ago.
Yeah, this is 118 to 123, so this is definitely
a while ago. 143. Oh, wow. Yeah,
this is over 20 episodes ago.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to start asking you guys, what are you drinking every show? Because the contents of the Indus bar.
The Indus bar, exactly.
Yes. We have wine. And then we have an entire bottle of Sailor Jerry shared between Goffy and the Sawa. That must be around MGC time.
That was around, I think it was either Scott's, was it MGC?
It was MGC because that's around March.
It was the first night. Oh, yeah. It was the night when me and Tony got, because we got there the night before pretty much everyone else. And I remember that. Scott and I polished off basically an entire 26er of a Sailor Jerry. Well, a handle, as you guys call it in the U.S., of Sailor Jerry, between the two of us in a day.
Right.
Not even a day, like a few hours. Craziness. Good times!
All right. Good times indeed. Now, Confidence Man also threw in some quotes, some memorable quotes.
Oh, this should be good.
So, now he kind of misquoted you, so I'll go ahead and say it the right way. Ooh, shit. Move, bitch. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And of course, that is Jeff.
Yeah. What was the proper way you said it should be?
Get out the way.
Move, bitch. Get out of the way. That's what he said. It wrong. I had to fix it.
Yeah, okay.
And the next quote, again, with Jeff saying, I've made a decision that Final Fantasy 13 will be the first Final Fantasy that I finished.
Hey, how'd that work out for you, Jeff?
It didn't.
You know what? That comment, because he said that, it is going to be. Fuck that shit. I'm going to start that shit up like Sunday or something, or like Saturday. I will, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to beat this game.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to try. You're not.
I'm going to try.
Okay, Chris gets a quote. How long can you run in a straight line, Jeff? How long?
Is this another Final Fantasy 13 reference?
Yes, it is.
And it's a quote by me saying, oh man, I'm playing some awesome stuff. Stuff that I love. Stuff that I've been waiting for a long time. And when I play it, it delivers and delivers. And it does nothing but deliver. I'm joking. I'm playing Final Fantasy 13. And the final quote is again from me. It's not going to happen. Okay, let me tell you now. Jeff, if that fucking happens, I will fucking sing Lady Gaga on the show. It'll never happen this fucking year. There is no way, never. Especially not this year.
Hey, Travis.
How'd that work out for you, Travis?
Tune in to episode 142 of Interactive Distractions. And then horses that were beaten to death in the span of episodes. Is The Matrix a martial arts movie? And how linear is Final Fantasy 13?
Apparently,
that's true. I forgot about the whole Matrix, Matrix thing. Forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah, many moons, many.
This martial arts movie
or not? That finishes up our email.
Thanks, dude. That's crazy. I didn't even think about half that shit.
Yeah, really.
That's good stuff, man.
Hey, I got something for you guys. You ready?
Uh oh.
Here we go.
It's time for another edition of...
I can run 100 miles without stopping for rest. I can stay underwater for 5 minutes on a single breath. When I focus my mind, I always reach my goal. But there's one thing I cannot control. I come too fast. I come too fast.
Random questions from Aces High. Yeah.
Boom, what's going on, guys? This is Aces High here with another edition of...
Okay, I'm pausing this again. Is it just me or, like, we're all three of us, like, waiting because of last week's song?
Yeah, I was waiting, like,
okay, I'm waiting for the punchline. There's going to be a punchline. There's going to be a punchline.
Where does he find this shit?
I have no idea.
If it's all from the... Because the other one came from the Get Him to the Greek soundtrack. If this came from the same shit, I'm buying that soundtrack. Oh my gosh.
Oh shit, that's awesome. All right, random questions.
Random questions. Yeah, do this. That's right. Another edition of a weekly segment. Who knew? Who knew? Unlike last episode, for sure, it's easy to say that this week's song has nothing at all to do with the questions I'm about to ask you. Let's see, the first question is a simple one, you know, it's just to break the ice, just to get into the groove. What kind of dried fruits do you like? You know, it's a simple question. Get to it, guys. And the second question is, have you ever purposely made a drink that you thought was too strong for someone, but, you know, you just decided to give it to them anyway? I had a rundown.
He's talking about Jason.
Not a rundown. Sorry, guys. Actually. I may have been drinking a little myself.
Oh, that's you?
But yeah. A Canadian, to say the least, that's all I'll say. I'm not going to speak names here, but a Canadian not too long ago, maybe a couple months, had made a drink for me that was a little too strong. I personally think, you know, one day I'll call him out. You know, his first name starts with a G. It's usually spelled with a J, but that's all I'm giving out, guys, later.
And it ends with off.
All right, dried fruit, guys.
Dried fruit. Pineapple.
Really?
Yeah, I like dried pineapple. It's good.
It's actually funny. I went grocery shopping today, and I picked up a couple packs of dried fruit.
Oh, really? Well, what'd you pick up?
It's mixed, but my favorite part of it was, like, the cranberries. But then they had something else. I don't know what it is. I'll have to get back to you later on that. But it was something else. I'm like, that is delicious.
Yeah,
but
and the mystery fruit.
Mystery fruit. Super fruit. Yeah. Which is what I call Jeff.
Snappity snap.
Jeff?
Banana, actually.
Okay, really? Yeah.
Hmm. I like that shit, man. Whenever you get the dried fruit, like, medley, the bananas are the ones that I like. It's some good shit.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, what's the story about giving a drink that was too strong?
Well, we have to answer the question first. So, Chris, have you ever given someone a very strong drink on purpose?
Probably. I can't. If I did, they probably handed it back to me, and I drank it myself. That's probably the reasoning behind it too. Here, I'm going to give you this drink that's way too strong, and then you're going to hand it back to me. I'm going to drink it.
That's funny.
That's how I work.
Travis?
Yeah, pretty much every good-looking woman that I served drinks to when I was bartending, yeah, I would like really try to get them hammered.
Oh, hell yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There's this one time when I went to somewhere in Florida, around Cocoa Beach area,
It was with, you know, like Kelly and Glenn Burgess. They had like this shindig.
A shindig?
Going on. Yeah, shindig, you know. We're all going, like, you know, having a few drinks, having a good time. And this guy named, I can't remember his name right now, Joe something. He asks random questions to everybody. I don't know, whatever. It's not important. But he's like, hey, can you make me a drink? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll make you a drink. What do you want? With, like, the mix. And we had Gatorade. We had, like, Coke Zero. I think we had Vanilla Coke or something. The crazy stuff you Americans drink. And then he picked Gatorade, and I poured the vodka first. And at this point, I've had a little bit already. And I poured it, and I looked at it, and I was like, I wouldn't drink that.
Oh, wow.
I was like, that's a lot. But I'm like, you know what? He just got here. He wants to have a good time. Let's pour some Gatorade in there. Like, so I went, like, sploosh. And gave it to this person.
Right.
Who will remain nameless.
Rename lamest.
Remain nameless. And that's the last time I can remember doing that.
All right.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah, Jeff got Aces pretty sick. And I think, well, I won't go too far into it, but we couldn't find Aces for like 2 hours. Where did Aces go?
And if anyone's listening to this, he's definitely of 21-year-old drinking age in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Okay.
21. 2-1.
Yes, 2-1. Let's move on. We're going to get off this topic. That's all the voicemails I have. So I guess if that's all the emails, let's do some question of the week.
Question of the week.
All right, so we're going to repeat the question of the week that we missed out on last week since we did the
boring. I'm just saying because we've already said it before.
Yes, question of the week is, what is your gaming swag? What kind of swag do you collect? So all the people that sent in emails already, we will be reading them. And if you want to send in emails before Thursday, please do. You can send the answer to the question of the week to email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337. You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And you can follow us individually as Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
If you notice, I'm not saying anything because I'm not your fucking tool.
Yes, you are.
What? Okay. G-off. Just making sure.
You also have a Facebook group. It's Interactive Distractions Podcast. Check us out on Cast Medium under the user-submitted podcasts. Mm-hmm. And leave us a rating or a review there. We'd appreciate that. And I think that's about it. You guys have anything else before we wrap up and get the hell out of here?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll get back to talking more about video games next week.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we haven't been any new. Like, we haven't, honestly, we've all been playing like PSP, DS, or fucking downloadable games recently.
I've been playing PSP like crazy.
I know. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, maybe let's talk some like Metroid next week or something.
Yeah, maybe. I am ready for the next AAA game. So yeah, Halo, I'm really, really pumped for it. Because like, it's been a while since we had like a AAA title, like a top-notch one.
It's been a long time since we've talked about an actual console release.
Yeah, so I'm...
depth, anyway.
The hype will come back. You know, I'm actually surprised you're not hyping... You're not so hyped about it. I guess you're kind of like a week of...
Who, me?
Yeah, type...
Dude, I am mad hyped about fucking Reach, dude. Like, you wouldn't even understand.
Well, it's just you haven't really talked about it, like exciting... You know, excited.
Well, because Chris doesn't care about Halo, and
I care.
I know you do. I know you do. We brought it up every single week for the past few weeks.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, we will be hype.
It will be definitely hype. I can't wait to bring the Reach to fucking VG Evo and watch those people who love Killzone cry. Not that Killzone's a bad game. I love Killzone. But, you
know. All right. Cool. Well, you know, let's get out of here then.
My boots in the shape. That's all I'm saying.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Shut up. All right, we're going to get out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. Or Cast Medium. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I am Jeff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.